If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The language of pirate is spoken in the back of the throat. Here, in the thromborax.
Arthur! Ahoy! Bartholomew! Resident accounting firm! Ted!
Here, talk like a pirate, Dave!
Pirates say ahoy for hello and fair winds for goodbye. Avast means stop. Instead of my, say me. Loot is money. Cannons are guns, and a gun's a pistol. Parties are your comrades. Always remember the pointy end of a sword goes into the enemy. Plank those who won't work on your ship, and never ever underestimate the importance of rum.
Remember, we put the rat in pirate.
You've got to lick, Captain. You can't quit now.
I'm gonna steal all your booty.
Arr, I'm a pirate. Arr, I'm a pirate.
Just like I'll steal your cutie.
Arr, I'm a pirate.
60 men on a dead man's chest. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
Speaking pirate also requires use of exaggerated vowel sounds.
A-E-I-O-U-R.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Aye, aye.
Aye, aye.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over. Roll another one, just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Yarr. Roll another one.
Aye, 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 aye.
Just like the other one.
Ahoy, ahoy.
This one seems to be about to end.
Aye, aye.
And I don't have another cent.
Aye, you don't have cents for a game of jellyfish.
And now,
how are you liking all these nautical puns?
Yeah.
Well, not bad.
Somewhat entertaining.
Our feature presentation.
Wow. It's quite the tribute.
Come out of the gate. Yeah, sure. It's the big day, Lisa. Come on.
It certainly is.
And getting bigger every year. Folks, it is Talk Like a Pirate Day, and that means it must be the 19th of September.
Oh!
Yeah!
Oh.
Mm.
Oh. Anna?
Wow.
I expect we might hear a pirate at the end there being the appropriate holiday today, Mike.
I think you've taken care of the pirate
There's
stuff,
a whole
by the way.
Lot of pirate going on today. So, you know where that last little sound effect's from?
Mm-mm.
I don't.
It's, that was from when Bjork beat down that photographer.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's just ah!
Very creative.
That's awesome. I don't think I remember before there was a Talk Like a Pirate Day. It seems like, in my mind, it's something that we celebrated since we were little kids.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's only been, what, 7 or 8 years? Something like that,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's hard to imagine such a world.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, so we do have a full slate-o pirate activity for you today. What's going on with everybody? What big plans do people have for the weekend?
I'm going to go see Righteous Kill today with a friend.
Are you?
I got that going. And I hope to see Ghost Town tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
That's with Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Love him.
I'm going to go on a stripper murdering spree.
Really?
By the way, Stripper Murdering Spree is a terrific band. I don't know if you picked up the record yet or not, but they are great.
Yeah, that's an awesome name.
Why are you killing strippers? Because they're already dead inside, Mike.
I know. But yesterday I went...
Yesterday
I went
on
the search for Nikita.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the one who had the brief affair with Megan Fox 4 years ago. We've decided we have to find whoever Nikita used to be when she was working at the body shop in 2004, right?
So I go to the body shop, and they don't allow me to bring in recorders. And I understand that. You know, the girls are working. The last thing they want is the guy just talking to them about stuff that isn't about being a stripper.
Right.
Well, so, a lot of customers who show up at a place like the body shop maybe aren't keen on it being recorded as well.
100%. Like, there's
sensitivity.
A myriad of reasons why why you shouldn't bring in a tape recorder into a strip club, and I understand that. That's no big deal. So I figure, what am I going to do? I tried to set up times to meet with these strippers outside of work.
Okay.
So that was last night. One of them stood me up.
How'd that go over at home, by the way?
What? I know, you get to tell your wife, I'm going to meet up with strippers that I've gotten their numbers, and we talk on a personal level, and it's all for work, trust me. One of them stood me up and wouldn't answer
phone. Lisa has long contended that strippers are unreliable, by the way.
Yes, of course.
And the other one meets up and then refuses to talk to me because she doesn't want people to know that she's a stripper. And I couldn't beat it into her head. Exactly. And I said, you're well accustomed to using a fake name. I believe me, your voice isn't that identifiable. It's no, my parents don't know I'm a stripper. And
listen to K-Rock? Said,
you are such a dumb bitch. You brought me all the way out here to tell me that you're not going to answer any of my questions. It's all for joking. You know, I doubt you really know Nikita. I doubt Megan Fox has ever come in while you've been on the job. Can you please just humor me and give me some audio? Nah, I'm scared. I don't want anybody to hear my voice. So now I'm just going to go on a stripper murdering spree.
So you went out and you got nothing?
No, yeah. I mean, as far as that break goes, there's nothing. Nothing exists.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Who knew strippers are so secretive?
No kidding. Why did she agree to come to meet you? Did she think somehow it was just a deep background she was going to be providing and she wasn't going to be on the record? Is that what it was?
I don't know. And that's kind of like was my problem. I said, well, you know, you could have just said, you know what, I don't want to talk at all at the beginning.
And then you wouldn't have come.
Giving me your cell phone number, then calling and then saying you're going to go to work at such and such time, maybe you can meet me an hour before, and going through this whole process.
Right. Was she hot?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, she wasn't overwhelming, but I could see this woman draining a lot of guys for money.
Yeah. Well, so you got something out of it.
Well, he got to look at her, I guess.
Yeah. But I got to look at her in like a sweatsuit, you know, like pre-work, you know?
That's true, yeah. I'm very disappointed that Harvey Levin did not take us seriously when we told him his job at TMZ.com was to find Nikita. How could he not want to look for that? That could be a gold mine of hot stuff.
And he has so many more resources when it comes to stuff like that, like investigative journalism. And he won't use that. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like we're giving him, you know, his Pulitzer, and he's just walking away from it. I mean, that's the story of the year right there is find this Nikita. I mean, who knows what kind of mementos she may have from her brief love affair with Megan Fox. For God's sakes, there could be video, Harvey. I mean, think about it.
He loves
video.
In my mind,
there's video, by the way.
Of course.
I'm convinced that there must be video. But he needs to get on that. That's all there is to it.
I agree.
I'm going to the fair today, by the way. You know, it's that time of year all over these great United States where they have the fairs, and I go every year. I'm very much looking forward to it, so that's what I'm doing today. And, of course, you know, I'm the only one celebrating Talk Like a Pirate Day actually on an island, so I think that's kind of special today, too.
Okay.
Ferry at your island, does it turn into a pirate ship for the day? Do they adorn it with cannons and stuff?
It would be awesome if I showed up today and everybody was – all the people working the ferry were dressed like a pirate.
That would be awesome.
I don't think that's the case. But anyway, lots of pirate nonsense for you today. Also, we've got the originators of Talk Like a Pirate Day. It's our annual visit with Old Chum Bucket and Captain Slappy. They're the ones who came up with it all those years ago. By the way, Old Chum Bucket, I believe it is, since last year when we spoke to him, has become a pirate of the Caribbean. He is now living in the Virgin Islands.
Nice.
So he has made it work for him. So we got that on the program today. I can't wait to talk to Chico. You may not know the name, but he is, ladies and gentlemen, the world's saddest meerkat, and we're going to talk to him today. I don't know why he's so sad, but is that what it is? He's all alone?
I mean, meerkats are very social animals. You know, they have the whole family. You watch the meerkats, right?
I've seen
TV.
It, yeah.
And they need their family, and he's all by himself.
Wow.
That's
I can't wait for that. That's going to be great. Also, Andrew Siciliano from the DirecTV Red Zone is going to be joining us with a preview of the NFL weekend. Always look forward to that. It's Friday. That means we got the movie beat. A couple of fantastic guests for you in the 9 o'clock hour. Two of our favorite people in the world are going to be here. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel, who has is not hosting the Emmys this year, but he does have a primetime Emmy special where he's doing interviews. And it looks very, very cool and very, very funny.
He's a total gaylord.
He may be, it sounds to me, by the way, that he's getting a little bit into Barbara Walters territory here with the big awards night interview show.
No kidding.
Maybe, I mean, think about it. I mean, Barbara's famous for doing her Oscar special. Right. Now Jimmy's doing this one. It sounds to me like he's just, you know, pushing her 1 foot at a time into the grave is what it sounds like. Jimmy's taking over.
All right.
But we'll talk to him about that. And the other guy that we're looking forward to in the 9 o'clock hour, ladies and gentlemen, Adam West.
Yay! Yeah.
His birthday today.
TV's Batman is 80, and we love him. So we've got him on the program today. And your last chance to win your tickets for Beck sold out tomorrow night at the Hollywood Bowl. All of that on the way on an all-new Kevin and Bean show for you this morning, including Ralph's Showbiz Beat right after this.
And now, a moment with Bean.
She is 28 years old.
She's in Charlie Wilson's War, too, Frank. Ralph, what's your name?
Frank.
Hit it, Steve.
What the hell?
You just called Ralph Frank.
You have a stroke?
That was a moment with Bean.
I'm not good with names. Sorry about that, Frank.
People ask me, why do you hate Bean? Why? And I say, just listen to the show. Will you just listen to the show? Just listen. That's all I say.
It's 5:48, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Frank.
Another chick is selling her virginity through the publicity machines of television and the internet. This time, she's actually attractive, though. Have you seen that pig who's trying to sell her virginity?
No.
That 20-something-year-old girl? You've seen the story, right?
I've seen the story, yeah. I haven't
seen it. Selling it on eBay or whatever, but she's doing it through the Bunny Ranch in Pahrump, Nevada or whatever, so it's all legal. And the bidding was up to like $250,000.
Wow.
And
stupid.
She's not good looking. However, 20-something Italian model Raffaello Fico is. She is a 20-year-old model. And she expects someone to pay at least $1 million to pierce her purity.
Dude.
Huh.
Ooh. I don't know what it's like to have sex, she says. But I'm willing to do it for $1 million.
Does she think it's just going to be so awful that she needs to make some money?
Well, she was asked, what if the winning bidder is ugly?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, if I don't like him, I'll just have a glass of wine and forget about it. That's what most women do when they're having sex.
Absolutely true.
How do we have any proof?
That's what I'm thinking. 20-year-old Italian model, really?
Well, they're going to do a physical exam and a lie detector test and everything, just like they did for the first bride. Okay. So,
yeah.
So
but I was
bizarre.
Thinking, as I was looking at the fugly girl, I was like, $250,000, you can get a lot better tail than that.
Yeah.
Whoever's bidding that money. And then I saw this model, and I said, that's what I'm talking about. But $1 million.
I guess for some guys, obviously just the very wealthy would be able to afford it, but the thrill would be the first, being taking her virginity. That would be the thing that would attract you, I guess.
She's going to use her virgin cash to buy a new home in Rome, she says, and pay for acting classes. I can't wait to see who's going to pull out the money to have me, she said. That's sweet.
Huh.
Daniel Craig made one giant request when he signed on to play James Bond again in the upcoming Quantum of Solace. Sorry,
change the title of the movie?
No, that wasn't it. Sorry, ladies. No Speedo. No tight swimsuit
Bond.
Yeah. He said he would never put those trunks on again. He said it was pretty embarrassing the first time
he
out.
He looked great.
He looked great. Flimsy Daniel Craig.
He won over a lot of women, though, as the new James Bond when they saw what they were getting.
Absolutely.
With his casting.
Yeah, it was very effective marketing.
Didn't he anger a lot of Bond purists, though, with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they thought it was gay. That's what they thought, yeah. Sean Connery wasn't.
He was not happy.
I remember we talked to him about that, and he was not too happy at all, yeah.
He's never happy, you guys.
Did you hear the story yesterday that Paris Hilton had been crying nonstop after her pair of dogs had been eaten by coyotes?
Yes, I did.
No.
Yeah, I heard that too, and I was hoping it was true, but actually it wasn't. Paris told People magazine that the dogs are safe and sound, and they were in her recording studio on Wednesday. Paris says she even has a doggy mansion built for them outside, and it's very secure, so coyotes can't get to them.
Let's go back to the recording studio part of the story. Ew.
Well, you got to use the recording studio for something.
So,
you let it be the dog pen.
But if you gave those dogs a choice between being eaten by coyotes and being in the recording studio with Paris Hilton, I think we know which one they choose.
You know they're howling like when fire engines go by and she sings.
I don't think she's using the recording studio a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's probably an empty room she can keep her dogs in.
She plays records.
How does a story like that get started, by the way?
I have no idea.
So many of these tabloid stories lately are just made up, like the Eva Mendez one yesterday, apparently. I mean, how does somebody just sit down and just invent it?
Yeah, because nothing good happened that day, so they got to find something, so they make it up.
I think they split up the wall in three parts, a name, an activity, and a location, and then they just throw darts, and it comes up, oh, Paris Hilton dogs in Beverly Hills, and then they just make a story.
Yeah.
Okay. Like Mad Libs. Oh, finally. Something about Brad and Angelina that isn't perfect.
What?
Sources are saying that the Brangelina family isn't exactly the cleanest clan.
You know, we have heard rumors about Brad
Dirty,
Pitt
dirty, dirty.
For years.
Stinky,
that he doesn't really
dirty.
Smell good. He doesn't take enough showers.
Angelina doesn't strike me as a particularly sparkling, clean lady either.
Yeah, that's possible.
Seems like a little, perhaps on the grimy side. They're home, apparently. They've got a French chateau, you know, in Paris where they're raising the kids.
Uh-huh.
According to sources, looks like a war zone. The walls are covered with crayon drawings. There's gunk all over the walls and all the bathrooms from these infamous toothpaste wars the kids like to engage in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hair dye stains every sink and every bathroom.
Would that be Angelina?
Yeah, I guess she dyes her hair dark, right?
Yeah.
Apparently no one in the family likes to do dishes either. So there are piles of dirty dishes in the kitchen with flies buzzing around them.
Oh, come on. Oh. That cannot be true. Lisa, they got to have someone in there doing this stuff.
But it's French people, and that attracts more flies.
They're famous, though, for not wanting help about raising their family. They only take natties and stuff when they're traveling. Well, they only use them at home.
I understand the crayon and even the toothpaste, but dirty dishes and flies?
Lisa, let me have this.
All right.
Let me believe that they're pigs.
Well, according to Star, every day they're breaking up.
Why do you have to ruin my parade? I want to think that they're filthy, piggish people, and
they're
I'm better than them.
Filthy, piggish
people. I am better than Brad and Angelina. My dishes are clean. You, Lori's the man.
Yep.
He Boy, sure is.
House was so good this week, but apparently he is getting some backlash in his homeland of England. A lot of people say he has sold out, he tells the New York Post. When he made his $10 million deal for when he re-signed with House, he said a lot of his fellow British actors thought he was a sellout.
Why?
Because he's doing American television for big money and he's not doing theater or movies or anything.
It's a good show.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they would have turned it down.
I think it's jealousy more than anything.
But, yeah.
And he's, living in the United States for 9 months out of the year, too, which I think they've got to look at as a slap in the face, right?
Yeah, how do you think we feel about it? Freaking foreigners living in our country. Think we're happy about
taking our money.
Let's all just suck it up and move on. That's what I'm saying.
As unbelievable an actor as he is, he's even better when you consider that he's doing all that with an accent.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost never think of him as being British anymore because he's so American on that show. But wow, what a performance.
Yep. The level of difficulty is insane. He's often been quoted as saying it's like trying to play a violin with a fish. That's how difficult it is to act well with an accent working at the same time. I told you yesterday about Ryan O'Neill, TV and movie star from the 60s and 70s who was popped for crystal meth along with his son.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently now his part of the story is that they weren't his drugs.
No.
They never are.
No.
See, apparently he knows his kid Redmond has a drug problem. Uh-huh. And so he's constantly searching Redmond's belongings and room. And he claims he came across those drugs. Those are Redmond's 2 or 3 months earlier. He confiscated the drugs and threw them in a drawer in his bedroom.
Because Redmond would never think to look there.
And he was being a responsible father, and that's why they found the drugs in his room.
And didn't flush them down the toilet?
I don't know, Lisa.
Hmm, interesting.
They're stars. They don't have to behave like us. Mm-hmm. They're better than us. apparently, Farrah Fawcett was in the home as well, upstairs, when the cops did the raid.
Yeah.
And she slept through the entire arrest, according to sources.
Does she still have cancer?
I believe she is in remission currently.
Oh, okay.
She's been going through some treatments in Germany, and apparently she's in remission. But apparently she's a sound sleeper. We know that much.
Wow.
Oh, thank God. Oh, it just keeps getting better. You know, Ryan Seacrest hosts Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve festivities.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, Ryan just signed himself a co-host for this holiday's festivities.
Nate Dogg.
Oh, I wish it was Nate Dogg. Kelly Pickler from American Idol will be Ryan Seacrest's co-host.
Are you kidding? The one who can't
talk or sing really or anything? Stupid? Yeah, the one who's really dumb. So, there you go. That's your new lineup for New Year's Eve.
Can't wait to not watch that.
If you're home watching Ryan Seacrest and Kelly Pickler on television at New Year's Eve, just don't see 2009, I say.
Bean.
Take yourself out. Just goodbye. Is
Dick Clark returning?
I believe he is. He'll just be doing the countdown.
That's our favorite part.
And I think he'll be doing some rapping.
They came to party, and they were disappointed.
Yeah. And surprise, surprise. Pat O'Brien has decided to part ways with the show The Insider, according to the news. That's what he told The Insider. This apparently after they kicked him off from being the host and downgraded him to correspondent. Now all of a sudden he decided he doesn't want to be on The Insider anymore. You're firing me? Screw you.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to do your show.
I quit.
I'm not going to work here anymore if you're going to fire me.
The Insider broke the story yesterday with the press release. We wish Pat much success in his future endeavors. No reason was given for the split between Pat and the show, but...
maybe because the show's crap.
Yeah, maybe that is.
Maybe they'll feature him on an upcoming medical oddities program about the world's saddest man.
Take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Model, actress, Playmate of the Year, Victoria Silvstedt.
Oh. Where is she?
Where is she? She came in here once, and I didn't get to... I wasn't here, so I didn't see her, but I've heard she's just...
She's
like
otherworldly.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
You've never met her, Lisa?
No.
Because she's been in several times on our show.
But I don't think when I was here.
Oh, maybe you were in the other place?
Yeah.
You lose then.
I know.
She looks as if she's walked out of a comic book.
Yeah, she does. She's unreal.
And she's funny and cute and smart and sexy and just...
Swedish.
Yeah.
I don't know where she is, though. She was doing movies and bit parts and things like that for a while, and then she kind of disappeared.
Last time we saw her, she was getting boinked on a jet ski.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, those tabloid photos.
Producer Alex, we would like you to put in a request to track down Ms. Silvstedt for us. We'd like to catch up with her and see
and ask if she does traffic.
Or news.
She's 34
or entertainment.
Years old today. Let's see what else we got. Jimmy Fallon turns 34 years old today. Another Saturday Night Live vet, Sherry O'Terry, is 43. James Lipton, host of Inside the Actors Studio, is 82 years old.
Whoa!
He is?
Yeah. Wow, he looks great.
He does look
great for 82. And speaking of looking great for your age, we'll be talking to him later on today. The Cape Crusader, half of the dynamic duo, with me being the other half. He is TV's Batman, Adam West, turns 80 years old today. Second most important man in my life.
Who's the first?
My dad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's some other freak.
Some other what?
Oh.
You know.
I really did. I'm with Lisa. I thought it was going to be Iron Man or something.
I was going to throw Donovan McNabb out there.
Donovan's up there. He's not the most important.
All right.
I'm glad it's your dad.
My dad's one, and then Adam West is two.
All right. That's kind of normal.
Some other freak. I'll be right back after I beat the snot out of Lisa May. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You guys ready for an instant request?
Always.
Instant request.
K-Rock listener Scott writes in, hey guys, here's my Kevin and Bean instant request. I'd like to hear, now follow this because there's a lot of moving parts here.
Right,
I'd like to hear.
Let me draw a diagram.
All right. Okay. Scott says he would like to hear Hulk Hogan being interviewed on the Petros and Hillary Swank morning show.
Wow.
So he's
Hillary
asking
and
for a
Swank
lot.
And Petros Papadakis to have their own morning show, and then special guest is Hulk Hogan.
Yes, that is a request of Mr. Scott Tipton, who has emailed us. I know it sounds like an awful lot to ask for, but we're going to give it a try right now on K-Rock.
It's the Petros and Hillary show.
Mindless chatter. That's not compelling or entertaining.
Petros and Hillary on K-Rock.
Good morning, everyone. This is Hillary Swank.
And just like Zeus and his brother Hades came down from the mountains of Vesuvius into the underworld, we are here to rock your minds on the radio airwaves.
You're listening to Petros and Hillary, and we're here on September the 18th with the Petros and Hillary show.
That's right. Later on today, we're going to have Pete Carroll talking about balling like a real G up here in Southern California. But right now, we gotta welcome a very special guest, a legend.
He is a legend. He's an actor. He's also a wrestler. He's very famous. He's the host of American Gladiators. And he is just a super, super guest to have. Please welcome our good friend, Mr. Hulk Hogan.
Hey guys, I'm Hulk Hogan. Stay with me for the next half hour. I'm going to show you my latest invention, Hulk Hogan's Ultimate Grill. Brother, you were the one that I was supposed to have a match with a couple of weeks ago, and you put The Rock in your place, brother. Hulkamania is the strongest force in the universe. The Hulkster's in the house. It's you and me, brother. Check him out, check him out. So what you gonna do when the going gets tough? The tough get rough. Brother,
gotta be the only show where the host could beat the crap out of the gladiators themselves.
But I am a real American.
Brother,
fight for what's right, fight for your life.
From the WWE, the one and only Hulk Hogan.
Please welcome, Hulk Hogan. Hi, Hulkster.
Hi, Hillary. Hi, Petros. Great to be with you, brother. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, Hulk.
Petros.
Yuck.
And Hillary.
And double yuck. Yuck. Yuck.
Talk Like a Pirate Day 2008 on KROQ. Hey, Lisa May.
Yes.
Would you mind if I fired me cannon through your porthole?
Oh, God.
I'm just going to keep going until I get a yes. I'm sorry. That's all there is to it.
Those are 323-520-AFRO
is the telephone number for the Kevin and Bean Afro line. Today, it is a Talk Like a Pirate hotline. You can call with any comment that you think will help with the party today. Unfortunately, it looks like we're starting out with a pirate complaint.
I can't stand Psycho Mike. Oh, and what's worse is I'm building resentment towards Bean for defending him all the time. Stop it, Bean! Hi, Lisa.
That's the one constant is it's always hi, Lisa.
Yep.
Talking like a pirate, believe it or not, harder than it sounds.
Our Kevin and Bean assure you be knowing what today be. It'd be tough like a pirate day. Oh, God.
Yeah,
that's it is tough.
Here's a, I think, a King of Mexico fan or complaint. I'm not sure.
Oh, are you ready, James? Aye, aye, Captain. Oh, who lives in a silo in the LBC? King of Mexico.
Stupid and lazy and dumb is he.
King of Mexico.
And a whole slew of Talk Like a Pirate Day jokes for you.
Tell me, scurvy knaves, what does he get when he crosses a pirate with a zucchini? A squash buckler.
Lord. Sure. Here's a classic.
What's a pirate's favorite cookie? Chips Ahoy.
I think that's one of the first Talk Like a Pirate Day jokes you learn when you get that out of Highlights magazine.
She didn't believe in that, by the way.
Yeah. So.
And another.
Arr, matey. I have a joke for you, Frank and Beans. Where do you find buccaneers? On the side of your bucket head?
Sure. Yeah. Here's a standard.
What does a pirate like to drink at? The bar!
Wow. Very simple.
But still effective, yes. Sure. Another joke.
Why did the pirate cross the seven seas? To get away from his wife.
Take a little twist there.
Okay.
Hey, here's a Talk Like a Pirate Day joke.
Good morning, you two rock scallywags. Do you know what happens when I take Viagra? I get hardy hard hard. Yeah. Oh, shiver me timber. Hey, that's me peg leg.
That's not a peg leg. And another one.
Hey, guys. Who do pirates call when they want to know which strip clubs to go to? They call Ralph Garman.
Sure they do. This one, I think, may be about me.
We do believe that Bean is a butt pirate.
Arr!
Oh, why'd you have to take a beautiful holiday and make it gay? Come on.
Of course.
A couple more jokes on the Kevin and Bean Talk Like a Pirate Day Afro line.
Why did the pirate not be able to use his right hand? He had arthritis.
And one more.
What do you get when you mix a pirate with masturbation? You have an orgasm.
And how about some? How about a joke that involves some very hot pirate chicks?
What did the one really hot smoking voluptuous pirate wing say to the other really hot smoking voluptuous big boomed pirates?
I don't even have an answer to that. I just think it really hot. Thinking of the both of them making out. I don't even know.
Maybe my favorite.
You can call anytime today. Lisa May, what's the number for the Talk Like a Pirate Day Afro line?
It's 323-520-AFRO. Come on, that's good.
Say what you will about Bob Dylan, but you can't deny that the guy has been prolific in his later years. I mean,
you
he's
are
in
right.
his
yeah.
he's got to be what?
60s,
60s, early 60s, yeah. mid 60s, maybe even. Still putting out a new record every year and a half or so. Has already published part one of his autobiography. Part two is coming soon. He's got a new triple CD of unreleased and rare tracks coming out next month. Now comes word that there's going to be a book on the way called Hollywood Photo Rhetoric, The Lost Manuscript, a collaboration from 40 years ago between Bob Dylan and a photographer friend of his, which is going to be poems and photos from the 1960s.
Wow.
So Bob Dylan has a couple of poems that have never been seen before that have been published in the new issue of New Yorker magazine. Now, I know a lot of people think that Dylan's stuff doesn't make any sense, and you could really make an argument for some of those songs that they don't have any they may have meaning to Bob because he wrote them,
yeah.
but the rest of us can't figure out what the hell he's talking about.
Right.
But here's one poem that Bob Dylan has published in the new issue of New Yorker that had not been published before, and you tell me if this is any good or if this is just getting published because it's Bob Dylan, right?
Okay.
Poem doesn't have a title. It's just called 21. That was the number that it was in the series by Bob Dylan. Death silenced her pool the day she died, hovered over her little toy dogs, but left no trace of itself at her funeral. That's the poem. That's what they've dug up 40 years later and published in New York magazine.
Well, they mentioned toy dogs, so I'm in.
Yeah, of course you're in. Well, we got to find out more of what's going on with Bob Dylan. I think we've got him on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Well, and the second.
What?
I apologize, Bob. I didn't catch what that was.
Loggins is panty.
Kenny Loggins' Yours. Pair of panties?
I thought I heard pair of panties.
Kenny Loggins' pair of panties. Yeah,
that's what I said. See, why do you say that clearly? Why can I understand
God
that?
God damn it.
Bob, death silenced her pool the day she died, hovered over her little toy dogs, but left no trace of itself at her funeral. What am I supposed to take away from
deep
that?
Poetry.
Yeah, man. Dig it. Yeah.
But what is it? Does it mean anything? Did somebody die? I mean, is there a real story that you're trying to tell there?
Come on, man.
Right.
Life is short.
Yeah.
And the
right.
things
Life
we
is short.
Collect here in this world do not follow us in the afterworld of spirituality.
Okay.
That's what that meant?
Damn it, that ding dong. California.
Well, Bob, I didn't know, I guess that you've written a lot of poems, but apparently you have quite a few from over the years that are going to see their light of day in this new book, right?
Finally gonna publish the book of poetry,
Is there a big difference between writing poems and writing lyrics for songs?
Yeah, poetry, you don't have to worry about the music and just share the secrets of life and the words and
Okay, all right. What, besides death and pool and dogs, what are your poems about usually?
You want to hear some other ones?
Yeah.
Right. Sure, yeah.
Here's from a new book, some of my favorite poems that I've done. There once was a man named McSweeney who spilled some gin on his weenie. Just to be coot, he added vermouth and slipped his girlfriend a martini.
Yeah.
Now that's a poem.
It's a limerick.
That's fantastic. I like it. I like it very much.
There once was a woman named Jill who swallowed an exploding pill. They found her vagina in North Carolina and her boobs in a tree in Brazil.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
It's a good one. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well done.
And a new farmer's helper named Cole accidentally was milking a bull. The farmer said, "Boy, you're dumb. You've milked the wrong one." And the boy said, "But the whole bucket's full." Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Sounds like a movie Mike would rent.
There was a crazy old man named O'Keefe who caused the local farmers much grief. To their cows he would run and cut their legs off for fun and say, "Look, I've invented ground beef." Yeah.
No. This isn't really what I was expecting from
man.
Your poetry.
Can you dig it?
It is a little different, yeah.
There once was a man from Nantucket.
I can't
read this.
Yeah, I don't think you want to read that one, Bob.
He had a big wang, though.
Yeah, I think we have to leave that to our imagination, I think. This is the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Chico, the world's saddest meerkat, next hour for you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also,
Chico,
your boyfriend, Andrew Siciliano.
Don't you worry.
Hey, we'll play that so for him. To try to cheer up our little beer cat, Fred. Your boyfriend, Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV The Red Zone, is going to be here, Ralph. And we're going to catch up with the originators of Talk Like a Pirate, a Old Chum Bucket, and Captain Slappy are going to be joining us.
And?
Well, that's all next hour.
Yeah, but later, then afterwards? Then?
Later, TV's Batman Adam West is going to be joining us.
Hi, folks. This is Adam West. I want to introduce radio's own boy wonder, Ralph Garman, and the show business
report. He's a fag.
Oh. What? I hope you're referring to me. I hope you're referring to me. Instead of Mr. West, Psycho Mike.
That was Mr. Soprano, wasn't it? I had nothing to do with that.
Uh-huh. There's good news in the struggle between the Screen Actors Guild and the producers. You know, we're heading at a blinding speed towards another actor's strike that this town really cannot afford. However, the results are in from the latest SAG National Board elections, and a party called Unite for Strength has won 6 out of the 11 Hollywood seats on the board, which now gives them an advantage over the incumbent party, Membership First, which a lot of SAG members believe have bungled the negotiations with the producers. So,
see, this is fascinating because this is like a change in party leadership in Congress.
It is.
Now you've got
absolutely
different people with different ideas who now have the deciding vote, right?
Yep. The new vote-getters, including Amy Brenneman, who you know from... What was that show she had?
She used to be on Judging Amy.
Judging Amy, that's the one.
And now she's on that.
She was on NYPD Blue for years. Adam Arkin, who's on Life, one of my favorite shows, but has been around for a long, long time, the son of Alan Arkin. A lot of new faces in the SAG membership board, and that will make the difference. They're already starting to get the wheels turning, starting new negotiations with the producers. So it looks
like great news.
We may be able to avoid a strike, which is really just so crucial at this point.
Yeah.
Because the other party, the Membership First Party, was insisting on a better deal for SAG from the producers than the WGA or the Directors Guild or AFTRA had gotten before. So it looked like that was going to be the loggerhead. But apparently, the new party in power means new hope when it comes to negotiations. So
great.
Let's hope for the best. What do you say? Interesting casting news out of Variety magazine. Robert Downey Jr., as I'd mentioned a couple weeks ago, had signed on to star as Sherlock Holmes in Guy Ritchie's new movie about the legendary detective. It looks like Jude Law will be signing on to play his assistant, Dr. Watson.
Wow.
It's a pretty good cast.
Yeah.
This, by the way, still is a competing Sherlock Holmes picture. There is another one in the works. A comedy, obviously, starring Sacha Baron Cohen as Sherlock Holmes and Will Ferrell as Dr. Watson.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. So,
are there any women in the Sherlock Holmes stories? I'm just curious who Jude Law will be having an affair with on the set of that film.
How dare you, sir? I'm sure they'll find somebody for him. It's in his. It's a writer in his contract, I think.
Exactly. Give me a ghost or a bag.
You know, baseball sucks, right?
Nope. Baseball's the best sport in the world.
So you got that going for you.
Nope.
But at least it's boring. So who else to write a new baseball song than Eddie Vedder to come along?
He is a long-time, lifelong Chicago Cubs fan, I believe.
All the time.
Long-time fan, Cubs?
Yes.
Him?
Cubs him, right.
The Cubs have asked him to write a Cubs song. And apparently, Eddie has whipped up something that I'm sure is rousing and entertaining.
I bet it's high energy.
I bet it is. He was asked to come up with a tune by one of the club's legends, Ernie, Let's Play Two Banks. Eddie to come up with a Cubs song, and he has written it all the way. It's called. It was recorded live last month during one of Eddie's solo gigs in Chicago's Auditorium Theater. The official website for Pearl Jam says the song will be available for download soon and may be sold as a CD single and souvenir 45 on vinyl. So all you Cubs fans have to pick up the new Eddie Vedder song.
Yeah, let's play baseball. It is good. Hit a home run.
I'd buy it. I would too. This could be the Cubs' year, though, Ralph. I mean, this could be the year that the long-suffering Cubs fans have been waiting for. They've got the best chance they've had in a long time to actually do it.
I'm sorry. Were you talking? I just nodded off there. I thought maybe...
You're missing... It's such a shame you're not a baseball fan. Michael, back me up on this. You're missing some phenomenal pennant races right now. It's so exciting and so tight right now. Look at what the Mets and the Phillies are doing.
Look at what
the White Sox and the Twins are doing, battling for the top. It's very exciting.
Boring.
All right.
More music news. This is unbelievable to me. Inexplicably, an unknown piece of music by Mozart has been discovered.
What?
All right.
That hack?
All right.
Mozart, previously unknown piece of music that he wrote, found in a French library. See, the French are so dirty, they don't even clean up their libraries. They don't even know what's in them. Apparently, as a preliminary draft of a musical composition, it was discovered by a member of the staff when they were going through the library's archives, and they came across this piece of music by Mozart. And they really had thought at this point that everything he had ever written had already been discovered and archived. But this is pretty exciting if you're a Mozart fan.
Sure.
Well, I would think, you know, after 200 years or whatever it's been, you can pretty much assume, okay, we've covered him. We've got everything out on him, right?
Here is, apparently they've recorded it so people can hear it. This is the music that Mozart wrote that was found in the French library.
How great is male ass?
Wow. Racy for back then.
I had no idea.
Kind of has a country tone, just weird.
I didn't know he swang that way. Hmm. Yeah. I didn't know he swang that way. Oprah Winfrey may show up on 30 Rock.
Oh.
Why? Why does she want to ruin a show I like? NBC's announced
30 Rock?
Oh, see what you did there? NBC's announced that Oprah filmed her guest shot last Saturday.
Does my butt look big?
It's going to be a one-time appearance, but apparently she and Tina Fey are buddies, so it's going to make it happen.
I'm so fat.
By the way, I saw a piece the other day that suggested that Oprah's star may be dimming a little bit. That the summer ratings, even though every year she's in reruns in the summer ratings have been very bad in a lot of cities this year. Oh. There are some cities where she's coming in third and fourth in her time slot now.
So
which is
great.
Such fantastic news. And people are wondering if maybe it's because she's been so outspoken politically this year and that may be a turnoff to, you know, McCain fans or something. They don't know exactly what it is. Or if her act is just wearing thin. But a little bit of a crack in the Queen's armor this year, it looks like.
Wouldn't it be great to see her indigent, homeless, and broke someday?
Yep.
Just to live long enough to see Oprah Winfrey begging for quarters outside of a 7-Eleven.
I want her hitting the pipe.
Missing teeth, all cracked out.
Ashy knees.
Yeah, it'd be great.
White lips.
Oh, stuff in the corners of her mouth, all cracked up and stuff. Oh. Their hair, like she's trying to style it, but it's all half nappy and half sort of relaxed.
I used to be on television. You got any money for Oprah?
She's begging out in front of the 7-Eleven on Santa Monica.
The best.
She's trying to get into the school for girls in South Africa, but they won't admit her because she's too old.
I want to learn something.
Wolf Blitzer?
Wolf Blitzer? Your bestiality.
George Clooney will make you do anything.
Yep.
Yeah?
George Clooney's a trendsetter. Apparently, there has been a big boost in the sales of sex toys.
Oh, no! From the movie!
From the movie Burn After Reading.
Clune Dog?
Since Clooney is an aficionado of marital aids in the film, apparently they say the sex toy industry has had a big boost in sales.
That's hilarious.
Especially items like the Liberator Ramp and the Silky. Both of those items on the rise thanks to placement in the film.
You know, the ramp, when I was in the theater Friday watching the movie, it was funny to hear the people in the audience who were laughing, because not everyone knew what it was, and they weren't laughing, so it would just be like a pocket over here and over here of people who recognized what that was.
Those are the people you follow into the parking lot
Absolutely.
Afterwards and say, yeah, let's get the ramp going. Let me say. Liberator. And Liberator's great because you can make different shapes and sizes with it. You can get several of them. You can make like a cube or like a bed or a ramp.
Play Poo Jenga.
Jenga,
yeah, with the Liberator and the wedges. You can make minted.
I gotcha. Don't be on my side anymore.
Sorry, dude.
Amy Poehler from Saturday Night Live has put together a series of webisodes on the internet. You can also download them on iTunes and other media outlets. Apparently, it's not strictly comedy, though. She is trying to empower young women with a series called Smart Girls at the Party.
Oh, too lame.
Where Amy will interview kids who have done spectacular things. Girls who are changing the world by being themselves, she says. Helping girls find confidence with their own aspirations and talents.
Oh, boring!
Shut up and put them on the glass, will you?
Oh,
for God's sake.
God.
Not interested!
Make us laugh, funny girl. Less
boring.
That's what they're teaching. Oh, girls are wonderful. Blah blah blah. How many episodes of that can you have?
Boring.
Well, wait a second.
Like
I just
girls.
Realized I don't give a shit.
We got like two girls who have done something. Then you're out. Rest are all in home ec making bundt cakes.
What's with you today, Ralph?
I'm just saying.
Oh my God.
He's just speaking the truth. What's with you? Don't want to hear it.
It's a shallow pool to sip from.
Who are the two women who have accomplished something? There's Megan Fox, obviously. Right. She's first. She's accomplished something, right?
And
who else?
Charlize Theron, I think.
Charlize Theron. Those are the two, right?
That's it. That's all you got. And that one ugly broad who did that thing. Gold in my ear. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Come on! And Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy said, contrary to popular belief, she was not a high-maintenance bride. And she doesn't think brides should be high-maintenance.
I didn't even know she got married.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Apparently, she wore just a black dress and boots at her wedding in 2007 because she says, look, I get dressed up all the time. It's not a big deal. See, ladies, that's how you should look at your wedding.
That's right.
You get dressed up all the time. It's not a big deal. Just put on some boots and a dress. Just do it.
Speaking from experience, Ralph.
Oh, trust me.
Yeah.
Most women don't think that way. For some reason, it's a big deal.
I was at your wedding. It wasn't anything like that.
Oh, they're big deal. Look at me. I'm dressing up. Look at me. I'm a bride.
Look at me coming in on the Batmobile.
Hey, wait a minute.
Wait
That's
a
different.
Second.
That's cool.
And I still think that if Ralph were being honest, he would admit that he was more excited about being able to arrive in the Batmobile than he was about getting married that day.
That is simply not true. Because what time is it? My wife is up.
Is up.
Okay, that is not true.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of the Batmobile, the man, the myth, the legend, the man behind the wheel of the Batmobile for three seasons on television, Adam West, TV's Batman, is 80 years old today.
Yeah!
A young 80.
Boy, is he, yes. You would never know the guy's 80 if you met him. He is
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
Yes, please.
Yeah!
Inside Actors Studio host James Lipton is 82 years old today.
Yeah!
If there is a heaven, what would you like God to say to you, James? You old bastard.
He is 82 years old. Jeremy Irons, very talented actor, is 60. Sherry O'Terry from Saturday Night Live turns 43. Jimmy Fallon, also from SNL, turns 34. And Victoria Silvstedt, Swedish model, actress, and Playboy Playmate of the Year. She is 34 years old today, and we're in the process of trying to track her down and get her on the show because we miss her.
Yes.
We put a chip in her last time she was in the studio, right?
I know.
So we should be able to find her.
I think the battery may have died. We'll have to put the GPS out and see how that goes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Tool on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. By the way, K-Rock in the 90s weekend starting today at noon. If you're wondering what we got going on, something you might want to check out. Ralph, has it really only been 6 years that we've been celebrating International Talk Like a Pirate Day? I can't remember a time before this holiday was on my calendar.
Arr, that's all it's been.
Well, the men who were there when it started and continue to be pirates number one and number two, Mark Captain Slappy Summers and John Old Chumbucket Bauer on the phone with us right now again this year for September 19th. Welcome, you guys. Happy Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Ahoy, Dean and Ralph.
Happy Talk Like a Pirate Day, Dean.
Arr, happy to
it
you
feels
as
like
well.
Christmas, doesn't it?
Arr, sure, and it does.
Maybe better. Maybe even better than Christmas. Listen, I understand from the website that you guys have a special engagement this year for Talk Like a Pirate Day. Tell people what you're doing right now.
We are in Philadelphia this year with the Real Pirates exhibit at the Franklin Institute. We'll actually be performing in a museum tonight, unless they figure out that they hired us, and then maybe not.
Performing how?
What do you guys do?
Well, basically we stand up and sing a couple of songs and scare the children.
Okay.
Nice work if you can get it.
It seems like, though, for this particular day, you must have a ton of offers. I mean, everybody's trying to get you guys for September 19th. How did you choose the Franklin Institute job?
Well, they were the ones where we wouldn't have had to pay to get there.
I see. I got you.
Everybody wants us, but how many want to actually pay for us?
That's an excellent point.
You're able to sail up the Delaware River there? Is that how you got there?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Is it true, since we spoke with you last September, that you, Old Chum Bucket, are now actually a pirate of the Caribbean?
Aye, that I be. I moved to St. Croix, the whole family.
Wow.
How do you up and move to the Virgin Islands? It seems like, I mean, that's a dream for millions of people, but how did you make it happen?
Well, we were tired of being cold and wet all the time in Oregon.
Right.
So my wife said, we're moving. We picked a spot, and we made it happen.
And don't you need a job or something?
Well, yes, and we both have jobs now.
What do you do there?
What do you do at the islands?
I'm a writer, and she's a teacher.
No kidding.
Oh, great.
And, of course, I'm a pirate. That supplements the income nicely.
Sure.
Well, that congratulations.
Pillaging and now, plundering helps, I'm sure.
Captain Slappy, was this tough for you to see the boy move away?
I cried big piratey tears. But I'm a West Coast boy through and through, so I'll be staying on the West Coast. He likes being cold and wet all the time.
Apparently.
Sure. Now, is it true that there's a new book on the bookshelf from the pirate guys since the last time we talked to you?
It's called The Pirate Life, Unleashing Your Inner Buccaneer, and it's available on our website, talklikeapirate.com.
And what goes on in that one? How is this different from, well, Blow Me Down, A Guy's Guide to Talking Like a Pirate, and Piratitude, So You Want to Be a Pirate?
Well, this is the ultimate pirate self-help book. This takes every field of human endeavor, dating, diet, exercise, dating, politics, dating, business, and women,
right,
and parenting, and it shows how you can improve your life by letting out your inner pirate. Although I have to say, results may vary. Consult your physician.
Yeah.
Were pirates known as great parents?
Often they were many times parents, whether they were actually good at it or not, hard to say.
Yeah, whether they actually stuck around or not.
Volume.
Yeah.
Now, every year we always make note of how the Talk Like a Pirate Day gets a little bit more well-known and a little bit more popular. I mean, I remember the first time that I saw it on a calendar, for instance, that it surprised me. The first time I saw a Talk Like a Pirate Day greeting card, I thought, well, that's it. Now they've made it. Does it continue to get bigger? Have you guys seen some stuff that's happened this year that still surprises you?
Bigger and bigger every year. In fact, this year, again, Studio City Tattoo is hosting the biggest Talk Like a Pirate party on the West Coast. Right there in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Studio City Tattoo?
They're right,
yeah,
up right the street on Ventura Boulevard.
Yeah.
Hey. No, but every year we always say, oh, man, that's it. It can't get any bigger than this. And then the next year it does.
I'm waiting for the first Talk Like a Pirate Day TV special. We
like
had
a
like
Christmas
Donnie
special,
and Marie
but,
singing
yeah.
pirate songs and stuff.
Jamie Farr.
Exactly. Yeah. Gavin McLeod stops by. It's going to be great.
Jamie Farr will be there.
Last year there was pirate talk on the International Space Station.
No kidding.
Are you kidding me? Really? That's fantastic.
What do we get here now?
You're out in space.
That's great. Right.
Space
in,
pirates.
In space, no one can hear you. Arr.
Well, our listeners never let us forget, as if we would, that Talk Like a Pirate Day is coming up. I mean, about a month out, we start getting emails. And from time to time, we didn't do it this year, but sometimes we do a live broadcast. Where was it? We did it a couple years ago, Ralph. We did it from the live
Pirates
show,
Adventure remember? Show down in Buena Park. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So from time to time, we do make it a live show, but we always make it a big deal here on the radio, and we look forward to it. I mean, it is a very special holiday that has been embraced by our K-Rock listeners, and God bless you guys for still out there and flying the pirate mast. You're doing the Lord's work.
We are.
Enjoy Philadelphia, John, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a great time. John, old Chum Bucket Bauer, and Mark, Captain Slappy Summers, and again, the website, if you want to get the book or the pirate kit or any other information, it's a very funny website. It's talklikeapirate.com. And we'll talk to you guys 1 year from today.
Thank you.
I hope this isn't a speed bump, but we have a very sad story that we have to tell you about. You know, you guys know what a meerkat is, right? Those adorable little rodents from the Big Animal Planet hit show.
They're like Weasley things that live in the desert, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't watch that freaking Meerkat Manor show because people are nuts.
It's too
it's
sad.
Great show.
That's
it's
why.
A great show,
it's
Ralph.
Like, oh, let's give them names and pretend they're
when
people.
When Shakespeare
and,
died, oh, I just couldn't watch
look
anymore.
Devastated. Look at Rosebud so knit a sweater for her baby. Screw you. They're a bunch of rats running around in the sand.
Oh, they're much more than that.
Well, the one thing we learned from watching that show is that they're very social creatures, and that's why this story is particularly tough to bring you, because there's one meerkat
what?
At the L.A. Zoo.
Just one?
Yes.
That's Chico. There's just one. He lived in the Louisville Zoo. He was in the Louisville Zoo in Kentucky until last year. They moved him here to befriend another single meerkat named Spanky, but unfortunately, guys, Spanky died in January, so now Chico is all by himself.
Aww.
You can imagine how sad that makes him and how sad that makes the Meerkat fans who see him out there by himself at the zoo.
What are we supposed to do about it, the Meerkat fans? What do they want us to do?
There's a petition right now to get some more Meerkats moved to the zoo or to move Chico to another zoo so that he can be with other Meerkats.
Hmm.
But so far, he's staying put, and we thought, how sad for the poor little guy. So let's go to him on the phone right now. We have Chico the Meerkat from the LA Zoo.
Chico.
Hello.
Is this Chico the Meerkat?
Hi, Chico.
I'm Chico.
Chico, don't be discouraged.
I'm alone. I'm all sad.
You are sad.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Chico, part of the problem, as I understand it, is that you have arthritis, you've got problems with your teeth, and they're worried that if they put other meerkats in with you, you're going to be weak and defenseless, and you're going to get beat up, which isn't going to make your situation any better.
They're going to kick my ass and beat me up.
Yeah,
that's
so
not good.
No, so you're probably better off alone, don't you think, Chico?
No, I need people to play with and dig and feed me.
To feed you?
Yeah, it sucks getting my own food.
Yeah. You're too lazy to get your own food, Chico?
Well, normally my girls get it, and now I gotta get it. It sucks.
Yeah. It sounds like a sad, lonely life just laying around in the dust there over there at the LA Zoo. People come in and... What's going on, Chico?
Mike Hem?
When I was a young meerkat, my mommy used to feed me. Now I gotta get my own food.
So Chico is an emo meerkat? Is that what we're learning here?
Yeah. He's got his own lyrics and everything.
Yeah. Chico, what are you, what's going
Chico,
on now?
What are you doing there?
That's my beer.
It's your beer?
Your beer sound effect, Chico?
Yeah. I got a drink to get through the day.
Oh, Chico's becoming an alcoholic. This is so sad.
This one's for my homies.
He's pouring a little bit out for his homies. Wow. That was for Spanky, right?
That was for Spanky. Big up, Spanky.
Big up, Spanky. Exactly.
Was he hit by a meerkat drive-by?
No, he was just old and died.
Okay.
Was it coming back from a Tyson fight in Vegas or anything?
No. No, I'm dead.
What else do you do to spend to while away the hours there, Chico?
I dig holes.
Dig holes.
There's people looking at me all the time.
Yeah, well, you're in a zoo.
Yeah, it sucks. Makes me
sounds
sad.
Pretty sad.
Well, what would you rather be doing? What would your ideal life be like, Chico?
I'd rather be digging holes in the wild.
Yeah.
Or playing with other meerkats.
Yeah. Other meerkats, sure. Of course, you're lonely. Yeah.
I'm lonely.
Yeah, we got that.
Makes me so sad.
I know, it is kind of sad.
I haven't shaved in weeks.
You haven't shaved in weeks? I don't think meerkats would shave at all. Because their fur
is
covered.
So long.
Yeah. Your fur is so long?
Yeah. Oh,
you have a big neck beard, Chico?
Perhaps a rat tail?
You're going to rat tail? Yeah, we thought you might be. Yeah.
That's sad.
Chico, would you say you're rad?
I am rad.
Yeah, I thought you might be.
But you know what? Being alone is rad.
Let's not forget, we have the final pair of tickets for the sold-out show with Beck, MGMT, and Spoon tomorrow night at the Hollywood Bowl.
Spoon!
We will make it as simple as this. Just be caller 20 when you hear us play a Beck song sometime between 8 and 9 o'clock this morning. Be caller 20 when you hear Beck play between 8 and 9 and win the last pair of tickets to that show coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Oh.
7:55. What?
Oh, I see. Oh, Mr. I'm so special. I've got things to give away. Oh, look at me. Aren't I great? I see how you roll.
Well, I'm just saying, we got the Beck tickets. I thought a Beck fan might want to stick around and try to win those.
I'll see your Beck tickets, and I'll raise you seasons 1 and 2 of Heroes on Blu-ray technology. Of course, I can't wait for Monday. I'm counting it down. The season premiere of Heroes, season 3, begins again Monday night on NBC at 8 o'clock. And to celebrate, I've got the first two seasons, seasons 1 and 2, on Blu-ray disc, if you're so inclined. If you're a real Heroes fan, here's a little trivia question. The first person to get through with the correct answer, 1-800-520-1067, will get both seasons 1 and 2 on Blu-ray. Here is your trivia question. At the end of season 2,
9 months ago when we were watching Heroes. What was the name of the deadly virus that Peter Petrelli had to destroy in order to save the world? What was the name of the virus that Peter Petrelli destroys in season two's finale? Call now, 1-800-520. It wasn't Anna. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now. If you get through with the correct answer, you're the winner.
I barely remember Peter Petrelli, and you're asking me to remember the name of a virus that he had to destroy.
Remember, he and Adam went after the virus. Adam Monroe wanted to use it, and Peter Petrelli destroyed it so because he went to the future and he saw what would happen if he didn't. Come on!
It's like he's talking a different language, right?
It's been a long 9 months. I'm just saying. God damn it. You don't get to watch on Monday.
I will watch, and hopefully we'll all come back to me.
You don't watch Monday at NBC at 8 o'clock. You don't watch.
Okay.
Although I do think they're doing an hour-long pre-premiere
good.
Special
to catch us up.
Catch you up.
Good. Okay.
And also, they're going to show you the red carpet with Hayden Panettiere walking down.
Ooh,
and
cool.
Allie Larder. Yeah.
And Bam Anderson.
Smoking hot girl.
A lot of people who may be tuning in, you know, teenagers today weren't born the last time the show was on.
Oh,
so
stop.
They're going to have a lot to catch up on.
Stop.
Want to talk to your winner right now before you even get into the show?
Already?
Biz? Yeah.
Wow, these Hero fans are the real deal. Let's talk to Eliani.
Hi.
Hi, Eliani. How are you?
I am doing really good.
Are you a Heroes fan?
Yes, I am.
What was the name of the virus Peter Petrelli destroyed at the end of last season's finale?
The Shanti virus.
The Shanti virus.
Shanti.
Now, you've already won, but you get bonus points if you know why it was called the Shanti virus.
It was called the Shanti virus because it was the sister of the professor.
That's right, with Mohinder's sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
You good?
Mohinder Suresh, you're good.
You're
you've
a
won
freak.
Seasons 1 and 2 on Blu-ray.
Yay.
Congratulations. Hold on, we'll give you all the details. Of course,
we got a winner! Oh, Nelly.
New season starts Monday night on NBC at 8 o'clock. Check it out. Well, sad news.
Okay.
Dylan McKay may be the father of Kelly Taylor's son on the new version of Beverly Hills 90210, but Luke Perry has said that he has no plans to join the cast on the new soap opera.
Really?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
Oh, he's busy, Lisa. He's got Luke's barbecue ribs stand that he's just opened up down there in Venice Beach. I have no idea what he's doing. He says he has fond memories of his time on the show. He's proud of his work on that show, but he's moving on, and he is not going back to 90210, much like Shannon Doherty has, and
that blonde
girl,
yeah.
Jenny Garth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tori Spelling wanted to, but they didn't give her enough money.
Yeah.
He's done. He says his next gig is he's got a guest starring role on Law & Order SVU. Well, good for you, Luke.
All right.
Congratulations.
That's better than being on a hit series.
Speaking of teen actors who have made big comebacks, how good is Joshua Jackson on Fringe?
He is awesome.
He's terrific on this.
He's a good actor. Yeah.
He's
Joshua
really
Jackson,
good.
Who I am for real.
It's not the Outcast song, yeah. Mike.
Love that show. The second episode was really good, yeah. I thought. So. Good news. If you're a Kelly Pickler fan, that's right, sir. I'm talking to you, that one Kelly Pickler fan out there. She has a new gig. She is co-hosting Dick Clark's annual New Year's Rockin' Eve festivities with Ryan Seacrest. Wow, that's a lot of bad in one show.
I remember you being quite the Pickler fan. You were Mr. Pickler before you discovered
Catherine
McPhee.
Before she started talking a lot. I thought she was very attractive. She is adorable, but That down-home, spun, geez, I'm an idiot, country F, aren't I cute thing she's got going on.
It started off with, what's
with
calamari?
Yeah,
but
right.
By the end of the season, she's like, what's air?
Yeah. Can you please step to the left of the stage? What's a stage?
What steps?
Yeah, don't like. Me no like.
Why do you think they chose her?
There are way bigger stars, but who would take the gig?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, maybe she's attractive. It. She's cute. She's got a history with Seacrest from American Idol. So I guess that makes sense.
Maybe she draws in the country crowd too.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, but I mean, there are a lot better and bigger country stars you could probably get to do it than Kelly Pickler. It's a weird choice.
Not as cheap.
Maybe she's the only woman who makes Dick Clark sound coherent.
That could very well be it. Yeah.
In comparison, Dick sounds downright articulate. Give me a little Dick, will you? Give me some Dick.
Oh, I need that tape.
Can I have
by
some
way.
Dick, please? Can I please have some...
They came to party, and they were disappointed.
That's what I'm talking about.
Dick?
I don't really know him, but he just seems like a dick to me.
Yeah. Dick?
And Brad and Angelina are just filthy people.
That's what I hear.
Just
disgusting,
filthy,
dirty people.
Star Magazine says they have a source that tells them their French chateau, where they're raising their 27 children, looks like a war zone. When you get in there, apparently the walls are covered with crayon drawings. Mm. There's hair dye in the bathroom sink, staining the bathroom sink.
Sounds like Kevin's place.
The walls of the bathrooms are covered with gunk thanks to toothpaste wars their kids like to engage in. And apparently no one in the family cares much for doing the dishes, so there are lots of dirty piles of dishes in the sinks with flies buzzing around them.
I know these are the rare stars who say they don't want help raising their kids, but perhaps they need it.
Well, they have
with
100
that many
of
kids?
Them.
Yeah.
Jeez, they need some help, apparently. But it just makes me feel good that they're dirty. Because, you know, they got so much going on better than my life, but at least I'm clean for the most part.
True.
Yeah. Let's take a look.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's real good to be back with you again this year.
See? Pickler mentions them good. That's what I'm saying. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Victoria Silvstedt, model, actress, Swedish Playmate of the Year. She is 34 years old today. I got Alex in the other room feverishly working on tracking her down so we can have a conversation with Victoria. Like to have her in. Like to have her visit.
Absolutely. Yes.
And do traffic, yeah. Jimmy Fallon from Saturday Night Live is 34 years old today. Fellow SNL alum Sherry O'Terry is 43 years old today. AJ Popoff from Lit is 35. Jeremy Irons turned 60. James Lipton, host of Inside the Actor's Studio, is 82. And TV's Batman, my good friend, my personal lord and savior, Adam West, celebrates his 80th birthday today. And we will talk to Adam later to celebrate.
Adam West. A little bit softer now. Yeah. Adam West. Adam West. Adam West. Adam West.
I go to bed with that every night. It's like a lullaby for me. I just put an endless
your ringtone on your cell phone, too, isn't it?
Just drift off to slumberland with him serenading me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're not going to believe the topic that has come up here behind the scenes at K-Rock. You'd never expect in September, in a non-Winter Olympic year, that anyone would ever say the word curling. You wouldn't expect curling to come up.
Those who caught a shuffleboard on ice are ill-advised.
Mike, explain to people what the curling is, that people, if they may not remember what the sport looks like.
Well, it is kind of like shuffleboard on ice. Yes. And they score it the same way like a bocce ball or lawn bowling, where it's just kind of like there's an object out at the end of the ice, and whoever gets closer with their kind of puck, it wins. And you can knock the other team out of the way and stuff, but they kind of launch it with a little room-looking deal.
Right.
But by all accounts, unless you are Canadian, it's the worst sport in the world, right?
Yeah, I think the Irish are real into it, too. But it is not cool. It is not fun or
there's nothing
cool
about
it,
right. If you come across curling during the Winter Olympics, it may have a curiosity factor. You may look at it and go, I can't believe grown-ups are spending their time doing that. Much less, I can't believe it's in the Olympics as an actual event that you can win a medal for. Like, how did that happen?
Right.
What are the chances that somebody who is young would look at that and go, I need to start curling. I got to break me off a piece of that. But that is what happened to one of us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Casey, who's got her finger on the button in the room behind the K-Rock studio, is going to a curling class this weekend in Southern California. Not exactly the hotbed of winter ice sports.
My God. There's so many things to do.
How did this happen?
Casey,
really?
I'm totally serious. No, when it was in like the 02 Olympics or something like that, I kind of like saw it. I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird, you know, whatever. And then when it was in 06... it got a lot more publicity because they put out a, like, Women of Curling calendar, and it was all these, like, scantily clad athletes.
Sure, yeah.
And so to kind of vamp up the whole curling kind of phenomenon. So ever since 06, I was like, holy crap, dude, I totally want to learn how to do that. Looked it up. There's nowhere around here, and there is now in Panorama City, and I randomly ran into it and signed up, and Sunday night I'm going and learning how to play the game, sport,
now,
match.
Thing, whatever. Uh-huh. Is it a one-time introduction to curling where you go in, you spend an hour, and you go, yep, now I know how to do it, and you go home? Or is it something that you are now joining a league and you're going to be curling regularly?
I don't know. I think they had like an open house 2 weeks ago and an intro class last week, and they have one more this week, and then next week starts league play.
Oh, my God. There are leagues in Southern California?
There are now. How great is that?
It's not great at all is how great it is. The answer to how great it is none.
Can't believe this.
What's the
describe for me what the appeal is to you. Why do you look at that? And out of the thousand sports that you could become interested in playing, why curling?
Well, it's got to be better than watching your baseball team lose every night. I mean, that's got to be better, right?
Oh, that's a dig at the Mariners right there, isn't it? That was hating on Seattle right there. Way to go. All right, but even though the Mariners suck, that doesn't make me want to get off the couch and go join a curling team. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, I mean, if it's about the, you know, the exercise or the competition or the camaraderie or something like that.
It's exercise intensive, that sport it is, you know? no, it kind of reminds me of bocce ball, like Italian lawn bowling, which, I don't know, my family would play it, and it seemed kind of cool, and I don't know, it's just been one of those random things.
How old are you, Casey?
26.
And what do you expect the average age is going to be of people who are going to be at this curling event on Sunday
night?
Oh,
my gosh. I have no idea. You know what? I really think it'd be hilarious if I walk in and it's all like 60-year-old fat men.
I would expect that. I can't even believe that this thing exists, much less someone we know is going to be part of it.
And I'm dragging my little sister to it, too. We're stoked.
There can't be like men 25 to 30 out curling this weekend. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
It's just going to be you and a bunch of women who have nothing else to do.
Yeah, but I'm probably younger and more athletic than them, and so they're just going to look like fools, and I'll be like...
But who's going to see you?
It doesn't matter. I want to learn, right? You guys can just watch.
We can't make it. I don't know when it is, but whatever night it is, we can't make it. All right, let's talk to Matt in Riverside real quick, who is a curling enthusiast, if you can believe it. And again, I know this seems unlikely that in September we would be talking about curling in a non-Olympic, Winter Olympic year, but for some reason, Casey's doing it this weekend. Matt, what's the deal? You love the curling?
I want to back Casey up on this. Curling is outstanding.
And in what way?
I don't know what it is about the sport, but every time it's on the Olympics, I can't stop watching it. It's fascinating.
But isn't it only fascinating because it's so dumb and boring that you can't believe that people are doing it?
Partially.
Okay, that's part of it. Thanks for the call. Let's try Mitch in Monrovia. Casey, you'll be interested in this. He has been curling before in Southern California. Hey, Mitch, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the deal?
Hey, Casey, let me let you know, I've been curling. The group of people that I've been with, we had to go all the way out to Ontario to find an ice rink that would actually let us curl. So if you found something in Kansas City, grab it while you can, because nobody else wants to carry those stones around.
Awesome.
That's what she said.
How many times did you go curling, Mitch?
I've only been once, because the only time that the ice rinks would let people organize was Sunday morning at 9 a.m., and I'm sorry, I've got other things better to do with that.
Mitch, what were the other people like that were curling with you?
They were, I will use the term very politely, they were geeks. They were all mid-20s to mid-30s. They looked like average, normal people that I might see walking down the hallway at work. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they're super excited about sliding big rocks on ice.
Wow. I got to tell you, the fact that they were in their 20s and 30s and the fact that Casey at her young, young age is participating really surprises me. I thought whoever said that they were going to be 60-year-old dudes was going to be right on.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there are some young people.
We saw a bunch of young people. Now, I've got a group of friends that gets together. We tried to, or somebody tried to find curling in Burbank. We play broom ball instead.
That's not the same.
And Casey, if you don't want to play curling, come over to Pickwick Ice Arena in Burbank. We do broom ball. It is hockey without skates.
Nice.
Wow. There's a lot of stuff going on in this this community that needs to be stopped. Thank you very much for the call. All right, let's do one more. Ashley in Lawndale is a longtime curler, has done it forever. Ashley, hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Is Casey making a big mistake, or is she in for the time of her life on Sunday night?
You know what? It depends on the people there. I'm from North Dakota originally, and we used to go curling. My cousin was the president of the curling league.
Yeah.
And so our family would go, and it's a lot of fun, especially if you've been drinking.
Oh, is that the key? It's one of those sports, because there are some sports that do get better when you drink. That's true.
It's a lot of fun, and you can throw yourself down the ice with the rocks. Just hold on, and it'll pull you down the ice because they're really heavy. And you have to run around on the ice with just your tennis shoes, and people fall on their butts, and people are laughing. A lot of fun.
All right. Unbelievable. Thanks for the call. All right, this really is the last call. This is Cheryl in Simi Valley. She's got another curling hotspot in Southern California that I didn't even know about. Hi, Cheryl. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got?
Hey, you guys. Curling rocks out here in Simi Valley at the Isoplex.
It's the Easy Street Arena.
Yeah.
They have leagues. They have a ton of hotties out there. So, Casey, have fun. See?
Wow.
No kidding.
This is bizarre. They have broom ball. They've got a ton of stuff happening out here. So, enjoy.
See you guys Let's talk about Megan Fox. I can have Let's Talk About Curling, right?
Oh, you know what? We can't hear you, Casey. Oh, Casey, you're breaking up. I'm sorry. We lost.
Time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Welcome to my world.
Oh, this is one of those weekends.
Yes.
From the ridiculous to the sublime.
Yep.
From the fantastically good to the horrifically horrible.
Something for everyone.
Really, something for everybody. Five major motion pictures in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. We're going to take a quick look at each of them. First and foremost, I couldn't be more excited about this film that is going to be released in selected theaters this weekend, but should be opening wider sooner. That's what she said. It's called Appaloosa.
Hell's yeah.
Love me some Westerns, and there aren't nearly enough Westerns made anymore. Last year's 310 to Yuma was a great film, and this one looks to be every bit as good. It is Appaloosa, directed by superly talented actor Ed Harris, who hasn't directed since about 8 years ago when he did Pollock, his award-winning film about the painter Jackson Pollock. He stars and directs in this film, along with his former co-star from A History of Violence, Viggo Mortensen. Renee Zellweger is also in the mix. Ed Harris and Viggo Mortensen play two lawmen who have to clean up a town that is being pretty much overrun by a tyrannical rancher. And it looks like just a classic Western, every sense of the word. Got a sort of a Tombstone vibe about it. And these actors in these roles just seems like a slam dunk. So I can't wait to see Appaloosa. Here is a scene from Appaloosa. In this part of the film, the gang is trying to break the bad guy, Randall Braggs, out of jail.
We come for Mr. Bragg.
You can't have him. Never. Step on in the office with that 8-gauge. First anything happens, you blow Mr. Bragg's head off.
Yes, sir. But take him if you have to.
If you do, he'll be dead.
We know you're good, Cole, but you're not as good as 20 of us. We'll kill you and Hitch.
You'll try.
You're willing to die to keep us from taking him?
Sure.
Hitch! You willing to die, too?
Of course he's willing to die. You think we do this kind of work because we're scared to die? You? You afraid to die?
I ain't afraid.
Good, because you go first.
Oh, come on! You go first. Come on! Appaloosa.
Sounds good.
Appaloosa. You know why they pick apples in the fall? Because the Appaloosa? I'm sorry.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Wow. That was bad.
Jeez. Crowd turns.
I can't believe that came from you.
Also coming out this weekend, Igor. Looks like a charming animated comedy starring the voices of John Cusack and Molly Shannon, Steve Buscemi. Igor is the quintessential laboratory assistant to the evil scientist. You've seen this this character in many horror films before, but in this particular one, turns out Igor is pretty smart in his own right and decides to leave his master to win the annual Evil Science Fair with his own creation. Looks to be a lot of fun. This Disney-esque video, film is directed by a guy who did a lot of the direct-to-video sequels of Disney films before, so he knows this territory. Here's a scene from Igor with John Cusack and Molly Shannon. Here is Igor talking about how to get ahead in life.
So I have to step on people to get ahead?
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather be a good nobody than an evil somebody. And so would you, because you're good, Igor.
Eva, don't say that.
It's true, you are good.
Seriously, stop saying that.
But you've made me this delicious tea. You're a very good friend.
Evil scientists don't have friends.
Sounds cute for the kids.
Yes. Okay.
Check that out. Also this weekend, F this movie.
That's the name of it?
Oh, I know which one you're going to...
My Best Friend's Girl comes out this weekend, starring Dane Cook. What have we done to deserve the punishment of Dane Cook movies? What crime could we have committed that they force us to endure the punishment that is Dane Cook movies?
I don't know.
Let me give you the brief rundown of the premise of this film, My Best Friend's Girl. Dane Cook plays Tank.
Shut up.
That's his character's name. Tank. Here's Tank's job. Tank has a profession where he is hired by guys who want their wives or girlfriends to reconsider leaving them. So he is awful to them and makes the last guy look really good in comparison because he treats the women so poorly. So they go back to their old boyfriends or husbands and they pay him for that. And that's his job.
Yeah, well, I'm
so
sure that's out
that's
there.
His career.
Did Tom Likas write this? Treat her like dirt.
If you hire somebody to abuse your wife or girlfriend, they are going to think that they have to come back to you because you're better than him. They're not going to realize that maybe just that guy's a jerk and there are lots of other good guys out there.
No, they will just go back to you. That's how he makes his living. It's one of these movie jobs that never existed ever in the history of mankind. Like what Sarah Jessica Parker's job was to get guys to move out of their parents' house.
Yes.
Right. In that Matthew McConaughey movie. Just horrible. Horrible.
Oh.
Horrible on every level.
Isn't Biggsy in this one, though?
Jason Biggs.
How did that happen?
Sadly, I don't know. He's got to get new
he's
management.
He's a good dude.
Great guy, good actor.
Isn't Alec Baldwin in this movie?
Yes. Kate Hudson, Alec Baldwin, Jason Biggs all have to endure co-starring with Dane Cook and My Best Friend's Girl. Here is Dane Cook being a jerk to Kate Hudson so that she'll go back to Jason Biggs.
And the reason that I didn't sleep with you is because you're not attractive. There, I said it.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. Thank you so much because you saved me from what could have possibly been the worst decision of my life, and I've eaten sushi in Tijuana.
Ooh, 1-0, okay? You're below my standards, even for a one-night pity, and I've taken down some real hogs, Alexis.
Yeah, hogs, cows, sheep. I bet your sex life is a regular heavy petting zoo.
You know what? You're what we call a two-bagger, okay? That means that I have to wear a bag on my head just in case the one of yours breaks.
See, he's trying to run her down so that she goes back to her boyfriend, Ralph. That's what's going on there.
But she won't have it. She's so spunky, she comes back with her own brand of sassy talk.
Sure does.
Sounds very realistic. It really does.
I think this film should be burned. Every print of it should be burned.
I have a message for Dane Cook.
You not only let down yourselves and your families, you let down a nation.
The old saying this film wasn't released, it escaped.
Yeah, exactly.
Lakeview Terrace opens this weekend. Samuel L. Jackson being his badass self. He plays a cop who is not a great neighbor. I get the sense he is not a particularly good neighbor. An interracial couple moves in next door to Samuel L. Jackson, who is an LAPD officer, and turns out he don't cotton to that. And bad things happen to the couple. But what are you going to do? He's a cop, so how do you call the cops on the cop?
Yeah, you can't do that.
It's tough,
you got to take matters into your own hands, I'm thinking.
Here is Patrick Wilson, who stars in Lakeview Terrace, pleading with Samuel L. Jackson's character to please leave him and his wife alone.
And whatever it is about me or us that bothers you, we got to figure out a way to deal with this, all right?
So what do you propose?
Can't we all just get along?
Oh, not Rodney King. You playing the race card?
Come on, man. This is getting a little out of hand. I need you to back off.
Back off?
Yeah, a little.
Or what?
See, you keep saying stuff like that, like we're not welcome here, we should move, but we're fitting in just fine.
Says who?
Dude. Boy, he scares me.
He sure does. This one is scary because it could happen, too, by the way. Yeah. You could move into a psycho and not know it.
There was another film, and this is I should have thought this out beforehand, but it just struck me. There was another film similar to this starring Ray Liotta, and who was a cop who had a crush on Madeline Stowe.
Oh, I remember
who was married
that.
To Michael Douglas, I believe, in the film. And similarly, he starts to harass them and make their life a living hell. And
right.
It was terrifying. This is a great premise
domestic
for a movie.
Domestic disturbance? Was that
something like that, yeah. Again, I
she
wish
was
I
married to Kurt Russell.
Up.
Not
Kurt Russell, that's who it was. It was Kurt Russell, yeah. And it was a really good film along the same lines as this. A very disturbing film. And I think this this one looks just as good. It's largely based on the strength of Samuel L. Jackson as an actor and as a bad mother effer.
Shut your mouth.
Just talking about Sam.
Unlawful entry, I'm being told
Unlawful
by
entry.
Alex.
God bless you, Alex, for coming up with that. Unlawful entry. Pick it
I
up.
I read the porn version of that, by the way.
How dare you, sir. And lastly, this looks very funny. Ricky Gervais in his first major motion picture starring role. Ricky Gervais plays a guy who dies for 7 minutes during a routine colonoscopy. And when he awakens, he realizes he has the ability to see and communicate with ghosts. Here's the thing. He's not much of a people person. And so he doesn't like to deal with live people, let alone dead people. And they keep harassing him, largely Greg Kinnear, who plays the head ghost, who is dealing with him. And Greg Kinnear's widow, Tia Leone, is apparently going to get remarried. Mm-hmm. And Greg asks Ricky Gervais to help him and step in and screw up the wedding. Sounds like a very funny, charming premise. Ricky Gervais just makes me laugh.
Yeah, he's great.
Here's a scene from the film where he is talking to the doctor after his colonoscopy. And he's asking if something happened during the procedure because things seem a little off to him.
Did anything unusual happen during my procedure?
You died.
I died?
A little bit.
How long?
7 minutes.
A bit less.
How did I die?
For the record, we did not recommend that you use the general anesthesia.
Where's the anesthesiologist? I want to see him now.
Oh, he does not work here anymore. You'll be happy to know that at St. Victor's we have a very strict three strikes policy.
My anesthesiologist had two strikes.
Okay, let's all calm down. Everybody dies.
Yeah, but usually at the end of their life, and just the once and forever.
Everybody's different.
Everybody's different.
That's great.
Is that my love, Kristen Wiig, playing that role,
Kristen
too, by the way?
Kristen Wiig, yes, from Saturday Night Live, and also the Joe Schmo Show, you may remember.
Oh,
yes. Was her first big break, playing Dr. Pat on that show. Yeah, this looks great. Ricky Gervais just can say anything, pretty much, and make me laugh. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a very entertaining film. So a lot of good choices this weekend. You got Appaloosa, for you Western fans. You've got Igor for the kids. You've got Lakeview Terrace if you feel like being scared. You've got Ghost Town if you want to laugh. And if you want to vomit, if you just want to soil yourself with just disgust, you can go check out My Best Friend's Girl. So, you got
all
the
right,
options.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Today is Talk Like a Pirate Day, 2008, as you know. This is year six for Talk Like a Pirate Day, the international sensation. We have turned over the Afro line to you if you want to add to the pirate party. Lisa, what's that phone number again, please?
It's 323-520-AFRO.
Yeah. Well done.
She's
finally getting it. Right at the end of the party, she's finally starting to get the R's out. It's weird. As much as we've done for Talk Like a Pirate Day, why would the first Afro caller turn it on us? How are you going to come at us like that? I'm not sure exactly that I get what's going on with this one.
What is the pirate's favorite letter in the alphabet? Vagina.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty much everybody's favorite, I guess. Mm-hmm. Here's an example of what happens when you don't maybe think it out before you call the Afro line.
I've got nothing.
Yeah. A lot of jokes coming in, of course. Here's one.
What does a pirate say when he beats you in a game of chess? Checkmate.
Sure. And of course, here's one of the standards, one of the original Talk Like a Pirate Day jokes.
What is a pirate's favorite restaurant? Arby's.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a caller about the K-Rock music.
What's the pirate's favorite K-Rock band? Scars on Broadway.
Well,
you know
it'd have
why?
To be, wouldn't it?
You know why?
Why's
that? Because they're Armenian. Come on.
How about right. that? This one is a little different.
I'm a gay pirate. Arr. Psycho Mike, I'd like to share your timbers. Arr.
Yeah, I bet Mike is very popular on this day with a certain segment of the population. Here's a warning for you.
What's the biggest fear in sleeping with a pirate? Genital warts.
Got to be careful with the pirates like that. This is perhaps the all-time number one Talk Like a Pirate Day joke.
So a pirate walks into a bar with the steering wheel sticking out of his pants. The bartender's like, yo, what was that? And he says, I don't know, but it's driving me nuts. Get it? Me nuts.
Yep, got it.
We get it, and once a year we give that one some airtime. Here's here's one for you Mexican pirates.
What's the Mexican pirate's favorite food? Carne asada. Maybe.
You know why?
Why?
Because he's on a diet. Low carb.
Come on!
I'm on fire!
And finally, I think this is the last one.
Okay.
I hope.
Ahoy, mateys. Uncork the bungles and let the rum flow. What's a pirate's favorite thing to take on vacation? His RV.
Okay, that's a good one. And here is the final one for Talk Like a Pirate Day.
What do pirates get for their mothers on Mother's Day? They get a card! And they also get a flower. Just because they're pirates doesn't mean they're inconsiderate.
See? He knows.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Stupid ass bitch.
Oh, come on.
A little harsh.
was rough.
Wow.
Coming up after the news at 9, we'll talk to our old friend Jimmy Kimmel. You know, he hasn't been showing up as Jimmy the Sports Guy for some time now, Ralph. I think we may have to finally fire him today. I just, I feel like he's just not bringing it like he used to.
Give him another week or two.
He'll okay.
come back around.
He claims he's been busy doing other stuff, but like what is what I have to say.
Bowling.
Also, the great Adam West celebrating birthday number 80. We'll talk to him next hour here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
One of my favorite actors is, of course, the star of House, you Laurie.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
He is one of the best paid actors on television, but apparently some of his fans in his native England aren't happy for him. He tells the New York Post that he was criticized by his fellow Brits when he made his deal for $10 million for few more seasons of House because they call him a sellout. Why don't they want him to be successful?
I don't know. And it's not a crappy sitcom. It's a really good show.
Yeah.
Are they burned? Do they feel like he should be doing his work in England rather than over here in America?
I think they're cheesed off because he was very popular in England and came over here to do the American show. And he uses an American accent. I think they feel maybe he's betrayed his roots a touch.
Mm-hmm. They need to get over that.
Yeah, they do.
They do, yeah.
By the way.
They all come over here and do a lot of work.
Yeah. We don't go over there and do your...
Not so much.
Silly shows.
A little.
Are they going to come down on Ricky Gervais now because he's got a big-time Hollywood movie out this weekend now?
Maybe.
All of a sudden, is he turning his back on his countrymen as well?
Maybe. We'll have to see. Ryan O'Neal's lawyer says that the crystal meth cops found in his room at his house wasn't his. Oh, that old line. He will be, and I quote, fully vindicated. Those were not Ryan's drugs. He doesn't use drugs. And has nothing to do with them.
Apparently, yeah, a lot of us have meth in our drawer.
Well, apparently,
in our bedroom.
Lisa, Ryan O'Neal's son Redmond does have a drug problem, and periodically Ryan will search his room and belongings trying to find drugs. And Ryan found the meth 2 or 3 months ago and decided just to keep it away from his son and put it in his room for safekeeping. You know, I'm gonna stick it up my nose to make sure my son doesn't get to it. That's what he said. For safekeeping. That's what I'm gonna put.
2 or 3 months.
A month. Even if that's true, even if he is telling the absolute truth, he's still in possession of an illegal substance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, that's true.
Well, and you gotta think if you're taking your kid's drugs, your kid's gonna go look for him.
Right.
So
unless
you
flush
would destroy
really dumb.
Him.
Unless he's really dumb.
Yeah.
And George Clooney is improving people's sex lives. And
Loondog.
Not just because it's who your girlfriend or wife thinks about while they're suffering through sex with you. It's because in his new movie, Burn After Reading, George has an admiration for marital aids in the film. And apparently, sales for the Liberator Ramp and the Silky, two items featured in the film, have skyrocketed thanks to George's implied seal of approval. Because his character is such a big fan.
Is the Silky the contraption that he invented in his basement?
Yes.
That's called the Silky.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
It's got a lot going on.
That looks dangerous, by the way. I mean, I'm no expert, but it looks like you could get hurt on that.
Well, for you, it would be, because you get hurt putting your pants on.
Right, but I'm saying, even if the ladies who it's intended for were to use it, it looked like it would be very easy for that device to go out of control and hurt someone.
You're a coward. You are a coward, sir.
Lisa, what did you think when you saw it? Would you be a little nervous about strapping yourself into that thing?
I did not think awesome. I did not think that.
You said, give me some of that.
I really did not.
You trollop.
I mean, it was like a... It's like sitting on a jackhammer.
Yeah.
I mean, it really looked dangerous.
That's what I'm talking about. Today's celebrity birthday is Victoria Silvstedt.
Oh.
Let's get her into the Silky. She is a model, an actress, Playmate of the Year, one of our favorite guests for a long time. And then she sort of disappeared. We don't know what happened to Victoria.
She's gone missing.
Find out.
We're going to find her, and we're going to bring her back alive. Because we leave no model left behind. That's always our motto here at the Kevin and Bean Show.
And boy, Ralph.
34 years old today. Jimmy Fallon from Saturday Night Live is also 34. Sherry O'Terry, another SNL alum, turns 43. AJ Popoff of Lit is 35. Jeremy Irons turned 60. Inside the Actors Studio host James Lipton is 82. And Adam West, TV's Batman. Come on, give it up.
Come on.
Can we just talk to him now? Why do we have to wait?
Because
old people
schedule.
Old people sleep in.
You know why you put him at the end of the show? Just so I'd stay through the whole show. That was your little plan. You knew I'd stick around. Otherwise, I would have been out here at like 7:30, right to a bar.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
Yes, we all do. He is 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We're going to get to Adam West in like 15 minutes, Ralph. I mean, you're throwing a tantrum here. Look, you're at the movies. Adam West is the main attraction. You've got to sit through Jimmy Kimmel. He's the trailer. That's
all
we're saying.
I know, but he's like a trailer for like a Dane Cook movie.
Oh, that's just mean.
Come on.
TV's Batman is 80. We'll talk to him coming up. But first, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel returns to the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see him this Sunday night on ABC at 7 o'clock for Jimmy Kimmel's Big Night of Stars. It's the Emmys that night, don't you know? Hey, Jim, welcome back. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, but bad news. You're going to have me for two segments because Adam West just passed away.
Oh, how dare you!
Apparently his mask got in the way of his respirator.
And, listen, funny man.
Ralph, I'm sorry to tell you.
That is not acceptable humor.
I'm just really sorry to tell you this.
Ralph was furious at me yesterday for saying I was so happy we were talking to Mr. West today, because you never know at 80 if this is going to be his last birthday. And I meant it as a compliment. I meant, like, I love this guy, and I'm so happy we get a chance to wish him happy birthday. And Ralph just, he condemned me for it.
He's going to outlive you, Bean. Absolutely. That's a positive. And probably Kimmel, too. That's what I'm guessing.
Maybe
Ralph,
so.
Ralph will definitely outlive me just to start with. But you know he's not really Batman, right?
You don't know that. What are you, some sort of expert?
Bruce Wayne is Batman, not Adam West.
Adam West is Bruce Wayne.
Oh.
That's right.
You ever been to his house? Right. He's got a sliding...
Algebra. No, I've not been to his house because I hear it's hidden in a cave.
Exactly. What's going on, Jimbo?
Let's
talk
nothing.
About this Sunday thing.
What happened to Kevin?
Well, he's just on vacation.
We finally killed him.
Does it bother him that nobody even knows when he's gone?
Not well, so much. I got to tell you, as a guy who was on vacation last week, it works both ways. People have they don't have any idea who they're listening to on the radio. They just turn on the Kevin and Bean Show. Whatever comes out of the speakers, they seem fine with. So I guess it's...
Be replaced by an all-black crew and see if anyone notices.
We're thinking about it. We want to get that preacher that was talking about Obama the other day. We want to put him on the show.
Yeah. Oh, have you seen that guy yet, Jimmy? The guy that Ralph's referring to, the new preacher?
Oh no! There's a new preacher.
Yeah, I'm going to send you the link right after this interview. He goes on for several minutes about what trash Obama's mama is for hooking up with a white man, and it's awesome. You
vice
will love
versa.
It.
Yeah, really? Black man.
Black
wow.
man. Black man. Right. Black yeah. man. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
You'll love it. I'll send that to you.
Hey,
all
you
right.
know what? I was thinking about this morning. You know this OJ trial going on in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to work there with you guys, we also had an OJ trial.
Yes.
Isn't
yes.
that weird?
That is
weird. I don't know if people are making that connection, but it seems it's like the guy's constantly on trial.
Every yeah, 2 years, he does seem to have a trial come up. Yes.
I just thought it was one of those crazy things I should bring up.
I'm glad you yeah. did, Jim.
That OJ's, he's trouble. Hey, I hope this isn't insensitive of me to bring up, but... You
but I guarantee you it will be.
I know.
Whenever Bean says that, I guarantee you it will be.
It just seems to me like you're the face of ABC. You're Jimmy Kimmel. Why aren't you hosting the Emmys? I mean, it's great that you got the primetime celebrity special and all that stuff, but why aren't you hosting the show?
Well, the biggest reason is because I'm Jimmy Kimmel. I think that's number one. You know what? I went to the network and I said, guys, I hear that we have the Emmys coming around this year. Clearly, I've proven myself to be a capable host on a number of occasions, and I would be honored to host the Emmys for my network. And they said, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get the guys who host the karaoke shows together, and they're going to host it instead. And then what you're going to do, which is even better, is you get to be on before the Emmys, earlier than the... Because nobody, I guess, really watches the Emmys.
No. It's all about the lead-up.
They watch the hour beforehand because they're used to luminaries like Mark McGrath and Billy Bush being on the during that time.
Right, that's
and
the big draw.
Ebert and Roper, you know, wearing tuxedos and welcoming people as they come. So it turns out I got the better spot.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, if you bought that, if that's the story they gave you and you bought it, then I'm happy
Plus,
for you.
Plus, Jim, more even you have to admit you can't hold a candle to the comedy stylings of Heidi Klum.
Well, we'll see, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Some of the guests include all five of the nominees of the Emmy Awards, including Tom Bergeron, Heidi Klum, Howie Mandel, Jeff Probst, Ryan Seacrest. You'll see that. You got some other big stars on the show. Tell us about it, Jimmy.
I do indeed. Did you guys watch the, what do they call that, the Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, sure.
Michael
yeah.
Phelps, the guy who was underwater for most of that time, he's on the show.
He's the retarded guy who swims fast?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's good.
And Tracy Morgan.
Funny.
Okay.
Doesn't
funny
swim
guy?
At
no.
all, by the way.
No. Well, he wouldn't.
Salma Hayek. I got to actually spend the day with Salma Hayek, Jennifer Esposito, and Sofia Vergara.
Really?
What? Dude.
Yeah. So it worked out okay, the whole thing.
That sounds all right.
Yeah, for you, not for them.
Yeah, well, no, of course not for them, but really, does it ever work out for them?
That'll be 7 o'clock on ABC ahead of the Emmy broadcast. Jimmy, I see you on my TV every 15 minutes pitching DirecTV right now for football. You still having the big parties over your house every Sunday?
Of course. And in fact, it's funny because when I did those commercials, my agent said, well, you know, you ought to give him free DirecTV since he's been paying $800 a month for the last 15 years here. And there was a whole big to-do about it, and it really had to go through a lot of channels before they granted it to me, because I guess I account for something like 8% of their income.
Yes. Stockholders wouldn't have it.
Yeah, but
that's
finally
right.
We were able, and I think they gave me like a year free or something.
Who who's your team, Jim?
I don't really have a team. I just like watching the games and cooking and watching everyone yell at each other. But and growing up, I never really had a team, and so I'm not about to take one now.
We had Andrew Siciliano on today, Jim. How great is that Red Zone channel?
The Red Zone channel? My house is a Red Zone channel.
It is.
Got all
true.
The games on at once everywhere?
Yeah, we keep all the games on at once. But, yeah, I mean, for people who have, you know, comically low numbers of televisions, like below five,
right.
Yeah, that's a great thing for them.
For them.
Jimmy is not joking. Am I right about this, Jim? You have 18 televisions in your house, right?
Well, it's only 17.
17 televisions. Okay,
don't be
now
ridiculous.
I feel like I should get another one.
All right. What's the one? What's the one game you're most excited about this weekend, Jimmy, the sports guy?
The game I'm most excited. I don't know. I don't care at all. I guess the probably the Cowboys, the late game.
Cowboys Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I really don't care. I mean, in fact, the truth is, I barely watch any of the games at all while I'm in the middle of all the craziness. Last week, I was cooking so much, I got this smoker that is the size of a refrigerator. I was cooking so much. At the end of the day, I had to watch ESPN to see what happened in the game. I need to put a TV in the smoker. I think it would be better.
The one great thing, and then we'll let you go here, Jimmy. The one great thing about, and I've been lucky enough to go over a couple of times on a Sunday to see Jimmy's setup, is Cousin Sal is pacing from room to room because, you know, he cares very deeply about the outcome of these games.
He can lose a limb if things go wrong.
It's so wild to see how happy he gets and then how devastatingly sad he gets 1 minute later. It's really entertaining.
Well, he's the saddest day of the year for Sal is Super Bowl Sunday, because even though there's a lot of excitement, he knows that at the end of that game, it's over for a while.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And Sal
Good
planned
times.
The birth of his children around football. He refused to try to get his wife pregnant in any month which might result in the kid being born on a Sunday during the football season.
That's completely reasonable. God. That absolutely makes sense.
And then named his son after the Cowboys quarterback. Jack Romo Iacono is his son's name. Romo.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
His child, his baby son, a name that rhymes with homo for the rest of his life. Because he likes the Cowboys.
That's awesome.
Jim, before you go, I want to ask you real quick. You still doing the Italian feast, the San Gennaro feast this year?
Yes, next weekend, as a matter of fact.
Next weekend is the San Gennaro feast?
That it is.
Are you having it at the same place near your theater there in Hollywood?
Right behind our theater. Yeah, people can go to feastofla.org to get the details. But it's next Thursday through Sunday.
And I'll tell you, that is a great event. If you get a chance, go down to thefeastofla.com and get more information, because the food there is amazing. There's always great entertainment, and Jimmy's hanging out with Adam Carolla and a bunch of other folks, and we have a great time down there.
Yeah, you guys are going to come down? Well, Bean, I know you're not coming down, but Ralph, you coming this
year? You know I'll be there.
Ralph goes every year.
Absolutely.
Sounds like fun. All right, Jimmy Kimmel's Big Night of Stars on ABC. The only hour that matters on ABC that night is before the Emmys, and that's at 7 o'clock. And Jim, always great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, Kevin or Bean or Ralph or whichever one you guys are.
See you.
Song is called 2 a.m. The band is called Slightly Stupid. Right here on the world
Shut
famous
up.
K-Rock.
Shut up.
6.7 KROQ.
Shut
what?
Up.
I'm taking care of some station business
Whatever
here, Ralph.
With station business. Nothing matters now.
Kevin and Beans, What It Do Nephew, coming up. Your phone calls on any topic. You get a prize for being on the air. 1-800-520-1067. What is it we're going to do here, Ralph? I can't remember. Do we
Let
have
me
something
tell you
planned?
Something. Let me tell you what happened today. 80 years ago in the small town of Walla Walla, Washington, in the great Pacific Northwest. On this day, 80 years ago, three wise men from the East showed up with frankincense and myrrh and gold, and they laid them at the feet at the greatest television actor ever to be gracing the screen.
You're not confused a little bit, because it sounds like you're telling the baby Jesus story a little bit there.
Same thing. In my opinion, same thing.
80 years ago today, ladies and gentlemen, the world welcomed Mr. Adam West into the world, and he's on the phone with us right now on the World Famous K-Rock. Hey, Adam.
Yeah, good morning. Those three wise men were from Spokane.
Yes, they were. Yes. The three wise men of Spokane.
To Walla Walla.
That's how the legend goes.
I want you guys to take heart, because 80 is the new middle age.
Is it?
That's what I understand, yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
We were talking about you earlier today, Mr. West, and honestly, your 80th birthday caught us by surprise, because you look like you're around 60. I mean, it really is remarkable that you're 80.
Well, look at my peers, Clooney, Pitt, Mickey
Rourke. You all share those good genes. Is your family known for its longevity, Adam? Do you have a lot of that in your family history? Because your genes have to play a big part in it, I'm sure.
Well, no, most of them have been murdered. But I think,
God. Adam.
Yeah, the genes have been pretty good. But I think, seriously, I watch what I drink.
Sure. As it goes down?
No wine under $4 a bottle. Oh,
good man.
All right.
And Brussels sprouts are important.
Sure. What are your plans? What do you do for a momentous birthday like this? What are you going to be spending your day doing, Mr. West?
Well, it's trash day.
The mansion.
You know, I have to take the trash out and stay in good graces with my wife. And, you know, life is really a balancing act, guys.
Yeah, but after the trash goes out, then the party starts.
Well, it
right?
helps to have a great wife and not to get up more than five times a night.
Well, there is that. Now, are you? Do you come to Hollywood much anymore, or are you able to do all your Family Guy stuff from Washington?
No, I go to Hollywood anytime I'm invited, and it's been a lot lately in New York and Atlanta, other places. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I keep working.
Yes.
You do have to travel a lot, though, because I know you go out and you meet with the fans and that kind of stuff. You have a busy schedule every year, don't you?
Yeah, and I don't use any sissy beauty products.
No moisturizer or anything?
Well, unless they're made at the Batcave under the strict supervision of Aunt Harriet.
Of course.
Her new one is called Aunt Harriet's Happy Hormone Help.
I don't think I want to ask, to tell you the truth.
You know how I celebrated Adam's birthday today? I went to a website. They've got adamwestbust.com. And I don't know if you knew this or not, Adam, but there is a statue that an artist has made, an amazing replica of yourself, and they're selling your bust now.
They are?
They are, yes.
Let me look.
I hope you're getting a piece of it.
Hardly anything left. I
hope you're getting a couple bucks, because it's a remarkable statue, and I just bought one today in honor of your birthday to celebrate.
You know, they're really selling quickly.
Yeah, I know. Apparently, they're moving like hotcakes.
Yeah, but I guess it's kind of an honor to have a bust.
Absolutely.
Of course, yeah. And speaking of honors, Mr. West, with all seriousness now, and I know that you're a very funny guy, and we always have a great time we talk to you, but I want you to know, I'm being very serious. We're not giving up on this star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame thing. A minor setback at best happened to us this year, but believe me, we're attacking it again next year, and it will happen.
Well, thank you. Really, that's very sweet and nice of you, and I deserve it.
But no, Adam, it's true. I was talking to Nina when we were going through the process, and I said I felt bad. I felt like I let you down because we didn't get it for you this year. But we're not going to give up.
Well, obviously, I have enemies everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, I'm blessed with a great family, wonderfully supportive fan base. They send money.
Well, that's the most important thing.
That's all you can ask for.
That's right. Now, one other thing Ralph was telling us earlier today, because he, of course, also is one of the voice actors on The Family Guy, the great Fox show, and he was telling us that you have some fantastic plot lines in upcoming episodes this season on The Family Guy. It sounds like Adam West has some juicy parts to play.
You know, it's tough for me to remember the dialogue, because I go in, I do them, and I just tell them, send the check.
Yeah. They have you do a bunch of episodes at once, too, because you have to do it when you're in town, right?
That's right. Yeah. Ralph probably does the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think one of the recent lines that, it'll get me a fatwa.
Fatwa.
It was a little brown man.
Well,
it's so silly, but it's wonderful.
Family Guy is coming back on Sunday, September the 28th, and we're going to have Seth MacFarlane, course creator and head Family Guy dude, on next week to talk about that. But Adam West will be featured prominently on this season. And we couldn't let today pass without thinking about you and without giving you the props that you deserve and wishing you the happiest of all birthdays on you today, your 80th. It's always an honor to talk to you, Mr. West.
Well, that's great, guys. I mean, it gives me a very warm feeling, seriously. And I respect your show. And that's why you have this exclusive.
We got you, huh? Excellent.
Okay, thanks very much.
Get the trash out.
But I have a great time.
All right, Adam, thanks so much for calling in.
You bet.
Happy birthday.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
What'd he do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. How about a pair of tickets to the LG World Championships of Freestyle Motocross on Saturday, September 27th at the LA County Fair, plus a Mountain High season pass valid during the entire upcoming season?
Can we call Adam West back?
No.
Come on.
He has to take out the trash.
Did you forget something you meant to say to him?
No, I just want to talk to him again.
He sure is sharp for 80, by the way.
It's very funny.
They've been murdered.
How about Veronica in Riverside to get us started? She's on line 8. Hey, Veronica. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do,
Veronica? What's going on?
Okay, so this morning, my mom caught me smoking pot.
She caught you smoking pot.
Okay.
Was she shocked?
What the hell's going on with your phone? Do they not have regular phones in Riverside? What is she talking on? Veronica?
I live in the middle of nowhere, okay? Riverside is horrible.
You calling us on a ham radio?
Yeah. All right, so she caught you smoking pot. What happened? What did she do?
Well, I just smelled, I reeked a freaking pot, marijuana, and I was leaving this morning. Long story short, for the past 2 months has been complete hell for me. I got a divorce. My roommate kicked me out. I had to move back to my parents' house. I lost my job. Just like
because you're a pothead.
Yeah, stop smoking so much pot. Your life will be better.
I didn't think that. I thought she needs the pot to get through this difficult time in her life.
Well, that's
what
she's telling herself.
Well, I went to a doctor, and they put... Okay? I know my behavior. I'm not about to risk myself and, like, start popping pills like crazy because I know what type of person I am.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, Veronica, let's bring this into sharp focus now. What is it you want from us?
I don't know. I really didn't know who to talk to. Weird, huh? I'm like driving to work. I'm like, who should I talk to about this?
And... You called us.
Well, we're always the right choice for delicate life matters. That's for sure.
I believe we are your morning enablers.
I know. Well, I listen to you guys every day. I feel like since high school, I've been listening to you guys. So I feel like I'm part of the fam, you know?
You are part of the fam.
Yes. But look what it did
and
to
the
you. Look what
having an intervention.
Yeah. Look what listening to us did to you. Look at the life you ended up with. Perhaps if you'd started off listening to Big Boy, you might be doing better with yourself right now.
Oh, my God. No.
All right.
Probably same situation.
Good luck, Veronica.
Yeah, I hope things get better, Veronica.
So, wait. I was listening. Like, what? I get injured for a birthday.
Okay. Let's try Ryan in Redondo Beach. He also had problems this morning with somebody being caught by somebody's mom. Hey, Ryan, you're on the Kevin Bean Show. What did
you
do?
Sorry. Wrong Ryan. I apologize.
Line 4, I think you want.
I felt.
Okay.
Ryan?
Hi, Ryan.
What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Well, last night, it was actually Larry.
Oh, can't really say that. Okay, so she's taking a nap in your lap.
Yes, exactly, and her mom walks in.
Oh,
that's not cool.
I went from being strong to being limp in 2 seconds.
I imagine. Yeah. And your girlfriend probably wanted to die.
Oh, dude, it was the most awkward moment when we came out of the room and her mom's sitting in the kitchen just staring at us, didn't say a word.
Until she said, give me some of that, big boy.
What happened in the moment? Like, mom walked into the room while that was going on? Did she say something, or did she just turn around and walk out, or what?
Just straight turned around and walked out. Like, her mouth just dropped to the floor.
Yeah.
So did your girlfriend.
Like her daughters.
So are you not allowed over there now or anything like that? Is there any fallout from this?
No fallout, but I think it's going to be pretty interesting when I go over there after work today.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go over there after work today.
Yeah. But should I let it cool down?
Maybe. Give it a little space.
Can't your girlfriend come to your place?
I could. We were just drinking at her house last night, and
Yeah, it may be time to give give mom a little time to process.
Give her a break.
And maybe buy a lock for the door.
I know, huh?
Yeah. There you go. Thanks for the call. All right, let's try Robert, L.A. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Robert, thanks for calling. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew, baby boo?
What'd it do, Robert?
You guys are messing my head up with the white pants stuff.
How so?
White pants, you're offering up your backside. White pants.
How has that screwed with you?
I went to go pick up my 6-year-old daughter at an after-school program for the first time. I walked in the office and to meet her teacher for the first time. She's wearing white pants.
Wow.
Dude, it's science.
Yeah.
There's two TAs in there wearing white pants.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but they're all giving me their backside. Yeah. And I'm here, I have to be a respectful father, you know, try to keep my mind clean. And I really was fighting this urge. All I could think was, Kevin, I'm
You should have thought of that before you sent your daughter to a slut school.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dirty school.
Ninjas are still better than pirates.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
You can be wrong.
Definitely.
Especially today, you can't say that, man. That's heresy. Thanks for the call. All right, let's try. We're almost out of time for today. Let's get in a little sports talk before we go, because Mario is on the line from West Covina. Very, very excited about the big series coming up this weekend. Hey, Mario, what'd it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Mario?
Not too much. I want to talk about these Dodgers today because I think, they're 5-6 games from winning, their division?
That's right. The magic number is seven, actually, as of right now.
Yeah. Seven? There we go.
And what's their lead? What they got over the Diamondbacks?
3.5
3.5
Yeah.
3.5 Okay, well.
Sounds good.
Basically, what I wanted to talk about, last year, what happened with the Dodgers? Fell apart.
Yes.
Month and a half, all went down. We got a new manager, picked up Manny Ramirez, Casey Blake. I mean, we're golden.
Well, you're not golden because you face the Cubs in the first round. Yeah. Yeah, you're getting into the playoffs, which is an improvement over most seasons in the last 20 years, but I wouldn't exactly start ordering a replica of the World Series ring yet.
Yeah. I'm talking about more of the NL division, you know, making it to the NL National Championship.
Well, that step is important, absolutely.
Exactly. You know, when's the last time we won a playoff game?
We won one, the Lima time game. It was a two
Lima.
Seasons ago. That was one win since the 1988 World Series, I believe.
Yeah, well.
Wow. All right, fellas, well, you know, keep working that Dodger blue one.
Go Doyers.
Go Doyers. All right, thank you for the call. And we'll end with a football call. It's the other Ryan. He's in Riverside on line 6. Big NFL weekend, of course, just ahead. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, guys?
What'd it do?
Hey, I'm Ralph. I'm born and raised Eagles fan.
Hey, Ryan. How's it going?
Good. How about you?
Good.
I was wondering if you were angry as I was at DeSean Jackson's little stunt on his Monday Night Football this past week.
You mean when he spiked the ball before the end zone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little infuriating.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy about that. And then I was glad they got the touchdown anyways, but the very next day I'm looking at Yahoo Sports, and he did a similar thing in college.
It was a high school all-star game he was playing in.
Oh, was it high school? Okay, where he jumps at the 5-yard line, and then the ball lands short, and the ball pops away.
He went to do a cartwheel into the end zone, and he landed on the ball on his hands about a couple yards before the end zone, as he was springing in.
Yeah, so now that it's two of those, I'm a little worried about him in the future.
Yeah, well, Andy Reid said if he tries it again, he's going to take a nail gun and staple his hand to the ball, so that won't happen. So I think we'll be in good shape. Yeah.
But go Eagles.
Go Birds.
All right, man. Thank you very much for the call, and thanks to all of our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including the originators of Talk Like a Pirate Day, Old Chum Bucket and Captain Slappy. Go to talklikeapirate.com to find out everything that's going on with them, with their third book coming out here, by the way. They are they're making it work for them, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Thanks to Andrew Siciliano for joining us, of course, from the Red Zone DirecTV channel. Call 888-777-2454 or directtv.com. If you want to add the Superfan to your NFL Sunday ticket, it is well worth it. Thanks to our friend Jimmy Kimmel for being on. His Jimmy Kimmel Big Night of Stars airs this Sunday night at 7 on ABC ahead of the Emmys. And thanks to the great Adam West for joining us, too. AdamWest.com is his website. He, of course, is a cast member of The Family Guy, premiering Sunday, September 28th at 9.
Okay.
Got a big show planned for you on Monday morning. The Return of the Monkey. Our old friend Kevin rejoins the cast here on the Kevin and Bean Show after vacation.
Kevin.
Not ringing a bell. Not ringing
Blonde
a bell.
Kid?
No.
You don't remember him? He'll look familiar when he gets here. That's the guy.
Okay.
That's the guy. Also, we'll have a complete recap of the Emmy Awards on Sunday night. We have Mike has been doing some infield 60-minute style reporting about the white pants phenomena and how it has taken over the Southland. I understand you got some tape for us on Monday. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And we're going to talk to a guy who runs full-time a Megan Fox website. Very special edition of Let's Talk About Megan Fox.
Wow. That's a good, it's a good life. Right
that
there.
Is a great, I mean, you. I know you've complained in the past that there's too goddamn much bandwidth and too many people with too many sites. I think that's one that would make the cut if you were pruning, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's philanthropy, essentially.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So all of that coming up Monday morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. Everybody have a fantastic weekend and a very happy Talk Like a Pirate Day as well.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Yarr. Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Aye, aye.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Our favorite wench, Kat Corbett, up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including The Offspring, One Day as a Lion, Chili Peppers, Linkin Park, Jane's Addiction, and more. I'd like to hear a pirate sing the rest of the song out, if you wouldn't mind.
Another one. Just like me other one. Walk the plank. This one seems to be about... spent. Arr. And I don't have another gold doubloon. Arr, matey. Arr. Don't bogart that joint. Don't bogart that joint. Just pass it around. Shiver me timbers. Oh, Treasure Island. That joint, my friend. Arr. I just pass it on down. Arr. Pass it on down.
It's kind of over.
What?
Your bong hit late. It's done, Scoot.
Can this be true? Is the party really over? Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Cut, print, gay.
You're still here. Damn it, what the f*** is going on? Well, I guess saying goodbye wasn't enough. What else do I have to do?
You get the hell out! You can bet your ass on it. God bless America, and God bless you. Good night.
Please tell me we're done now.
We're done.
See you guys. Seacrest out. Bye-bye.
Yarr.